Ryan, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Our Monday show, 312-981-7200, obviously. A lot has transpired since we all last got together on Friday.
Yes.
A lot.
A lot has. And welcome back to Kevo. Kev's back.
Hi, Kevin.
Oh, thanks. Hi.
Did you notice he was gone?
I did notice he was gone, but I did also notice that he now looks very tired and haggard. He's let himself go.
What?
Well, he's married now.
Yeah, married life.
He doesn't care
okay,
anymore.
Okay, A, that is not something you would ever say. Two, what?
He was just telling us before the show, I guess it's okay to say where you were on your honeymoon,
oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. No. They went to Palos Hills for their honeymoon.
Beautiful.
This time of year.
How were the hills?
Colorama.
Rolling.
You should have gone to Rolling Meadows, too, while you were there.
They went to Tokyo and to Bali, and he was telling us about the... What sort of a monkey forest is it?
It's in Bali. It's the sacred monkey forest.
The sacred monkey forest.
I don't know why you found that to be so funny.
I want to go to a sacred monkey
no,
forest.
No, you don't.
Is there more than one? Is Bali the closest one?
That's probably your closest bet.
I just like, there's a picture, we should put it on our Facebook page too when you get a minute, just share it, of Kevin with a monkey on his shoulder, holding a banana. Were you holding the banana or the monkey?
The monkey's holding, well, I had given him the banana, so.
It's a sacred monkey, Bill.
So I'm working with a producer that has a monkey on his shoulder and a co-host that has a monkey on her back. What are the odds of this? How could that possibly
you
be?
You like monkeys.
But this is the beauty of a place like Bali, is that here in Chicago, like if you were doing something, because this wasn't like a petting zoo, you were just in a forest and a monkey came up on your shoulder.
A sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, a sanctuary.
Like what if you were walking around town here and a monkey just showed up on your shoulder? That'd be like the weirdest thing in the world. Love that.
It was pretty cool. Definitely a highlight. I love monkeys.
And you just, weren't afraid for, even a little bit?
I was definitely a little bit afraid. Because he's up there, like, you know, he's eating the banana, he's smacking in my ear, and it was, yeah, but he's a little nervous.
Did you ever hear stories about how monkeys, like, they'll be really cool, and then all of a sudden...
They'll tear your face off.
Or I know this will sound unbelievable, but, or worse.
Well, you would die if they tore your face off, so
I would die if
you.
I saw a monkey coming at me, I would die.
But now you went into the sacred monkey house.
Forest.
Or whatever.
There's no house. It's a temple, I guess.
So they hold monkeys near and dear to their...
It's a temple. Are they Jewish monkeys?
Do they have the little hats?
Yeah, the yarmulkes?
That would be so cute.
It would be pretty cute. It'd be too much.
But, I mean, it's a sanctuary, so
monkeys,
you know...
eating deli. I would love that. What are you having? Roast beef on rye. You want some? Sure, I'll take a little.
I love pastrami.
You know, Barbara Streisand's coming to town. What? It's true.
But it's a sanctuary, so when you walked in there, you realized you're going to see monkeys. It's not like you're walking down the street and a monkey jumps on your shoulder. Plus, you don't have a banana in your hand.
You don't know that.
You're just happy to be here.
Mr. Trump.
I know. Sorry.
Yeah, the whole concept of it to me is just so... Well, it's foreign, but it's a foreign country, so it all makes sense.
Yeah, and they do kind of wander outside of the forest a little bit, I guess, like into the surrounding town. But that's where they go to get fed. You know, that's where the food and the tourists are.
I would go there in a heartbeat.
It was amazing.
I want to go. You know, there's the two places on the planet I want to go more than anywhere are Asia and Australia.
Yeah.
I just want to go so badly. And it will not deter me to know that there's just wild monkeys that can just climb on your shoulders. In a weird way, I want to see that happen, but not to me.
To your wife.
To others. Yeah, to Terry.
Smile, honey. I'll take a picture.
That's actually how I got acclimated. Like, Sarah had it up on her shoulder first, and I was like, oh, okay, so we're safe then. I let her test the waters a little bit.
There's no incidents, Kevin. There's never a rogue monkey that just starts.
They're probably going nuts. They have guys, you know, kind of standing by watching to make sure.
With
like
tasers.
Like you're not supposed to shout or anything at them. I mean, you
get
know.
Off me, monkey!
Yeah, let them do their thing. Be relaxed.
Right. Stupid monkeys! Don't taunt them. That would be the worst thing in the world. Wow, good for you.
Thanks.
Tell Wendy about the sacred goat forest.
That's at Wrigley Field.
Yes, it is.
Which I have to tell you, I don't hate the Cubs anymore.
What?
I had a revelation over the weekend. Watching the games, I didn't watch the whole thing. But I'll tell you, Jim was watching. Hey, Wendy, come watch the Cubs. I'm not watching the Cubs.
Both of you watching the game.
Yeah, he gets mad at me when I say something bad about the Cubs on the air. But off the air, he does it all the time.
Oh, all right.
But we've come to a conclusion. This is not a Cubs team to hate anymore.
No,
there have been Cubs players in the past, Sammy Sosa, some jerks that have been on the team that you just didn't want to love the Cubs. There is nothing to dislike about this Cubs team. They're young, they're fresh, they're having fun, they're good.
Right. Right.
They have a great manager. There's nothing to hate.
The other day, game one, Javi Baez hits a home run. Win it 1-0. All right, so then the next day, Buster Posey, who's like the cleanest cut human being on the planet, by the way. Did you see this guy? He's their catcher, and he looks like a cleaned up version of Archie Andrews without the red hair. He's got darker hair. He looks like he's 17 years old, very polite looking. But he was very polite looking. Take a picture. When you see him, you'll go, wow, that's like the cleanest cut guy on the planet. He was criticizing Javi Baez, saying he was showboating, grandstanding a little bit after he hit the home run. And I'll be honest with you. And it came back to haunt us in game two. He does, when he hits a ball hard, he takes a second or two to see where it goes. And you're not supposed to. You're supposed to run very quickly. It ended up costing him a double in game two. But he was taking a shot at him, going, hey, don't try to show us up. And Javi Baez was not trying to show anybody up. It was a 0-0 game in the bottom of the eighth inning, and it was a key moment. And he just wanted to enjoy the second or two, you know?
And he crushed that ball.
Boy, did he.
The wind brought that thing into the basket. But, I mean, if the wind was going any other way, that thing would have been onto the street.
Did you see the post-game interview? They go out on the field to talk to him right after the game. And it's a guy named Ken Rosenthal, who usually wears a bow tie and clothes from 45 or 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I wondered who that guy was. Not a fan, sorry.
He has a very unique style to him. So he interviews him, hey, what about this, what about this? And you're getting a standard question and answer. And then his last question to him, now keep in mind, Javi Baez, maybe English isn't his first language, all right? So he asks him about the curtain call, and Javi Baez has no idea what a curtain call is. So he just
says, can you blame him?
Well, you know, at that point in the game, you just have to hope for the, you know, he has no idea at all. And then Ken Rosenthal, that's the end of the interview. It's like, all right, if he doesn't know curtain call, I don't know where to go with the guy.
That was a bad question.
Well, you would think if you're around baseball for a while, you would have heard the phrase, but you could just see it in Javi Baez's eyes. You could have asked him like the chemical compound of boron at that point, because he's like, I.
And you know who else who has a bow tie who I got to tell you I didn't even recognize?
Who?
Pete Rose. What the hell has happened to him? I don't watch baseball typically.
Yeah.
So I'm caught up in the excitement of it. And it's like, I say to Jim, who's that guy? And he goes, Pete Rose. I'm like, no.
Was he there? I didn't see him.
He was on a little panel, the four people with A-Rod and Frank Thomas, who I knew. I guess that was Comcast. And A-Rod, he sounds like, oh, you wascally wabbit.
Really?
I've missed so much not watching a little bit.
Does he?
The A-Rod thing is new. They just, I mean, he played a little bit this season and then retired early. Remember Pete Rose? Yeah, that's...
What has happened to him?
Well, you know, you can see him in Las Vegas anytime you want.
Every time I go there, he's there.
Yeah, is it pretty sad? I've never seen him in person, but it sounds like he just kind of sits at this little table.
It is beyond sad to see the
Any
guy with the most
Any table would be
hits.
Little next to him.
Well, he's just got this card table and
Poor thing.
It's pathetic.
Charges a couple $100 for an autograph, right?
It's not that high, but it's a lot more than you need to pay for a Pete Rose autograph at this point.
He looks like my aunt, who is no longer with us. He looked like Aunt, who I called Aunt.
You should send him a fan letter and say that.
Aunt with a bow tie.
She could have been Pete Rose for Halloween. It would have been the easiest costume in the world. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then go over some of the other events. Was there a debate this weekend, too? Somebody said there was.
Something like that.
I don't remember. All right, if you want to jump in, like I said, 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leffin and Wendy Snyder on WGN. You're going to watch tonight? It's a late start, 8:38 start.
I got to tune in a little. I'm not going to sit there and watch the whole game. I'm not going to sing Go Cubs Go. I'm not wearing royal blue.
You don't have to.
But I am not hating on the Cubs anymore.
You know, I know this is...
nice hat, by the way.
I'm wearing a Cubs hat.
Yeah.
What I'm about to say is the most basic thing in the world, but it needs to be said. It's fun to win. It's fun to watch winning. You know, it really is.
These kids on the Cubs, these kids...
They know how to win.
And they deserve to win.
Yeah.
This team deserves to win.
Oh, I think so. And...
what's happened to me?
Well... You know the feeling you get, game one was a perfect example of this because there was no score. and the Blackhawks are about to start Wednesday, so this all kind of makes sense. It felt like it had a hockey game atmosphere, especially as the games got into the game one got into the sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, where you go, boy, one pitch, one hit, that's all. It felt like a hockey game in the waning
minutes of
the hockey game.
You would have high fived someone.
I'm not a fan of the high five. I will give you one per nine innings. That's my high five rule. You get
an
one
extra innings.
Yeah, then you get one additional high five. So it's like coaches' challenges. You don't want to abuse your high five with me. I just don't understand the concept of the high five. I like something, you like something, let's bang our hands at each other. I don't understand
it's
that.
Like, woohoo!
But then why don't, I mean, there's better ways to express that. It's ridiculous.
What?
Hey, we're all happy, let's bang our hands against each other.
It's better than what Trump's doing.
Do you prefer a clap, a fist bump? What?
I like. I will applaud
air?
For something.
Yeah, but you gotta show camaraderie with your seatmate.
And what better way to do it than bang my hand against his or hers?
Bill has the worst touchdown dance of all time. Can you imagine him scoring a touchdown?
It's like cavemen. It's like, well,
I'm a woman.
That's what cave people would do. Just bang their hands against each other because they like something. It's
what
it's
you're too cool to do that.
It has nothing to do with too cool. I didn't have anything to do with the point being scored. If the guys,
but
if
you're
the guys
celebrating.
On the field, I know, but there's a thousand ways to celebrate.
What, name one other way that you would do with a guy next to you that you don't know. Seriously.
That sounded weird.
But they just scored. You win the game. You're sitting next to someone the whole game.
Cheer. Yay.
What if he puts his hand up? You're going to leave him hanging?
Yes.
I kind of get what he's saying because I kind of felt that way with the Blackhawks with the Stanley Cup when it was going around. Like, yeah, taking a picture with the Stanley Cup. I mean, it's cool, but I didn't win that.
Right.
No, I'm talking about when your team scores and you're in the crowd.
I know. But
I'm not talking about the Stanley Cup.
I know.
You shouldn't have even touched it.
He did.
Or taking a picture with
Wendy
it.
Was yelling, don't let Ryan touch the Stanley Cup. She was screaming. And Kevin was afraid because there was a monkey came out of nowhere and jumped on his shoulder when the Stanley Cup was
Everything's been in that cup.
I don't understand it. All right. We have so much to discuss with
High
you.
High five me, Bill.
No way.
He left me hanging.
The look on somebody's face, too, when you do that is priceless.
Because it's mean.
Yeah, but did you ever sit next to a guy who does it? Like I told you, one of my friends who had the tickets 50 times a game, no matter what would happen. Hey, high five. No. Enjoy it. Watch the game.
That's when you say, I'm saving it for a special moment.
That's
then
what
I'll
I told him.
You.
You get one per nine innings.
I'm sure.
Read the ticket. It says it on the back of the ticket.
Fine print?
Yeah, very small print. All right, we'll
very
take a quick
fine.
Break. And then there's more show, including an old friend of ours comes on to talk about what's been going on with the hurricane. That's
oh,
coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Just a little bit. Yep. All right, stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thanks, Ryan. Wendy, quick side bet. Me and you a side bet?
Yeah.
The next guest we have on worked with us at another radio station about 50, 60 years ago. I don't think she'll remember us.
I say she does.
You don't? All right. I'll take that bet.
Well, first, let's say we were worried about Hurricane Matthew, and it was Category 3, Category 4, went back down to Category 3, and I believe it is now no longer a hurricane. So we go to a meteorologist at WESH Channel 2 in Orlando, Amy Sweezy, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi there.
You don't remember us, do you?
I do.
Oh.
The first thing your producer says to me on the phone is, you know, do you remember Wendy and Bill? I'm like, are you kidding me? They were the highlight of my Chicago years in the early 90s.
Wow.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Amy, you have gone on from doing our news to being a meteorologist. You've been out in Florida for a long time, huh?
I have, 14 years. I went back to school after doing traffic with you guys in the middle of the night when I was a baby. And,
you were a baby. We used to have to change your diapers.
Yep. I know it.
Your mom used to drive you into
that.
The studio and leave you in the station wagon. It was fun.
Yes.
Well, we're proud of you, Amy. You've done right well for yourself.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, it was an exciting week last week. It was a little scary, but we made it through.
Enough so for you to go to a Garth Brooks show I saw on your Facebook page.
That's right. Yeah, so Garth was here. That were one of his final stops. He had four shows scheduled, and instead of doing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he had to cram four shows into 2 days.
Oh, my God.
So,
double headers.
Yeah. Exactly. I think by the Sunday night show, he was probably pretty exhausted. But luckily, I saw him Saturday night when he still had all of his energy.
Oh, good.
Good to know. Now, you're in Orlando. WESH is in Orlando, correct?
Yes, yes. I'm in Orlando where we cover all of Central Florida. So we go over to the beach, to Daytona Beach, Cocoa Beach, also the Kennedy Space Center area. So it's all kind of the middle part of Florida.
So what happened with Hurricane Matthew? It was going up and down in categories, and now it's, what is it called now? It's not a hurricane any longer, is
it? It's not. It's not even a tropical storm anymore. It's just a post-tropical. So basically, it's lost all of its tropical characteristics. It's essentially just an area of low pressure, and it's going away from the coast of the U.S., so now we are not worried about it. The Carolinas aren't worried about it. New York doesn't need to worry about it. Nobody needs to worry about Matthew anymore.
Amy, we were saying you know it's serious when the theme parks in and around Orlando close down. That's very, very rare, isn't it?
It is. You know what? I was actually vacationing down here in 1999 when Hurricane Floyd was off the coast, and Disney shut down for the very first time ever then for a day. And it shut down again in 2004 when we had Hurricane Charlie come through, and then this last time. So it only happens about every 10 years, but we did all the theme parks shut down early Thursday. They were closed all day Friday, but then back to business as usual on Saturday.
So I know that Haiti suffered some major losses. The Carolina, North Carolina, a lot of people had to be rescued. Florida had some issues. But all in all, was Matthew what it was expected?
You know what? It yes and no. If the storm, the thing we keep talking about here is that we were just really so lucky that it wobbled. And it's pretty common for a major hurricane that's at least a Category 3 or higher to kind of wobble back and forth as the eye of the storm, like, recycles itself. So what happened was once it got over the Bahamas, it did wobble just enough east that once it came up our coast, it stayed just a few miles off our coast. If it had come back toward the west, even by 10 or 15 miles, our entire east coast would have been wiped out.
Oh, wow.
The Kennedy Space Center, you know, Daytona Beach, where I know a lot of people vacation, a lot of places that did have some damage, we would have had catastrophic damage at the coast. So, I mean, it was literally like 10, 15 miles to the east that really saved us.
Amy, at some point, the governor of Florida, that would be Rick Scott, was talking about evacuation. So you're in the business, you're in the weather business. How serious does it have to get before you yourself evacuate an area?
You know what? I actually did send my kids to Tampa, which is on the west side of Florida, of course.
Yeah.
But my sister lives over there, and it was just, I didn't feel like my kids were going to be harmed necessarily. I live just far enough inland that I knew that we would probably have power outages. I knew I'd probably have some trees down at my house. But I just figured, you know what? Why not? If you can send them west and they can be safe, let's do it. And then my husband and I stayed here. We suffered very minimal damage. It was, you know, lots of power outages, lots of trees down, but really inland away from the beaches, that was about the extent of the damage.
And if you and your husband were here, who transported the kids, or were they just on their own?
Well, you know, they are in elementary school.
Oh, they're
so
fine.
We decided,
all right.
Yeah.
No problem.
We let them hitchhike.
Here's a map, kids. Tampa's that way.
Grab your backpack.
I was at work nonstop, so yes, my husband became Mr. Mom big time. So he drove them to Tampa, and then he drove back, took care of the house, if you will, while I was on TV nonstop.
Now, do they retire the name of Matthew? I know they go through all the names, and it's now both men and women. It used to be just women's names. Is Matthew now retired?
It will be, more than likely. It hasn't happened yet. What they'll do is the World Meteorological Organization, that's in charge of making up the names and deciding what names get retired, they will all meet after the end of the season and decide which storms caused the most damage, and then they'll retire those names. My guess is that Matthew will be retired, yeah.
Amy, I know you spent a bunch of years here in the Midwest, but it must have been an interesting move to learn how the different weather patterns happen in and around Florida. It's kind of a jolt to the system, all the different weather occurrences they can have out there, isn't it?
Yeah. After I left you guys in Chicago, I was in West Michigan for 7 years. And, of course, it was all blizzards and snowstorms. And
yeah.
So I came down here in 2002, which means I arrived just before the 2004 hurricane season, when we had three hurricanes, you know, crisscross right over top of the Orlando area. So it was kind of a trial by fire right away, moving into tropical weather. And it's tough to live in a hurricane-prone area, but at the same time, I mean, we have just started our fall pattern now, and it's going to be sunny and beautiful for the next 6 months. So for those of us who live here, it's worth it.
So hurricane season is, this is the tail end of it, correct?
Yes. November 30th is when it officially ends, but we're getting kind of down to the end of the names. I think we could still have a couple more. Nicole's out there, Tropical Storm Nicole. That one's headed to Bermuda later this week. But we could still have a couple more storms, but yeah, we're kind of winding down for the season.
Well, good to know. I mean, I'm sorry for the people who lost their lives. I believe 17 people killed in 4 states. Haiti suffered tragic losses.
Sure.
People have been rescued in North Carolina. Is power still out in several locations?
It is. A lot of people have their power back here in Central Florida, but there are some people that are still out. I keep hearing, you know, random from friends that live over at the beach that, oh, my power just came back on. So I think in the next at least 2 or 3 days here, everybody in Central Florida anyway should get their power back on.
Death toll in Haiti, I'm just reading right now, well over 800.
Awful.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
It really is. Well, thank you for keeping us abreast of the situation. I know a lot of people from Chicago traveled to Florida. So, you know, thinking about Hurricane Matthew, it did definitely affect a lot of the people listening. And we're glad to know you're doing so well.
Well, thank you. I owe so much of my, you know, early years in broadcasting to you guys. So I'm just honored that you remembered me and thought of me and asked me to come back and talk about Matthew today.
Absolutely. Will you keep us posted? Can you be our hurricane correspondent in the Orlando, Florida area?
Absolutely. I would love it. It'd be my pleasure.
Thanks, Amy. Great to talk to you again. Good
Thanks,
luck out
guys.
There.
You too. Thanks.
That's Amy Sweezy from Channel 2 in Orlando, WESH in Orlando.
She is a little adorable person.
Yeah.
She's on Facebook. She's on Twitter. And we had nothing to do with
I don't think we did.
Any of her success.
I doubt it.
That's sweet of her, but nothing.
It's inaccurate. We got to fact check our guests
right.
from now on. All right. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, I'm not hating on the Cubs anymore.
Don't you feel better?
I don't know how
Isn't
I feel
it fun?
Exactly.
It's conflicting. I understand that.
I'm not coming on your side.
No, you don't have to. You can still be a White Sox fan, but there's just something so great about watching everything come together at the same time.
It's
and
very
win.
Electric.
Isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah. It was game one was a very tense game. I'm pacing. I'm walking around. I was so nervous. And then game two is a little more relaxed, but it just feels so good to watch them play. And the Blackhawks start Wednesday.
I know.
That's nice.
I can't wait for that. But in the meantime, I might have to tune in.
All
Tonight's
right.
the next game.
Yeah, game three is tonight. It's an 8:38 start.
You know how the mayors of various places have these stupid bets
yeah.
when they're up against a team?
Yes.
I hate them. I'm embarrassed to be reporting on them. But, of course, our own Mayor Rahm Emanuel and San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee have done that friendly wager. You haven't heard about this?
No. What are they betting? Can
you guess the All Chicago right. one? Because I'm sick
I
of this, too.
I wonder if there'll be pizza involved.
No.
Deep dish? No? Roast beef?
Popcorn?
Popcorn?
No,
Garrett's
you guys
popcorn?
Are missing the big boat here.
Violence?
That's not funny.
It's accurate.
Thanks, Donald Trump.
We're going to send
He mentions
them
us,
violence.
Too, in the debate.
Would it be... What else could it be?
River water.
River water?
You're missing a big one that I feel like is in the bet all the time.
Did he say pizza already?
I did say pizza. That was the first one.
Eli's Cheesecake.
Oh, I'm embarrassed. Yeah,
you should be, because isn't it every time?
Yeah. Yes.
So not Belushi?
Jim Belushi. You get to keep Jim Belushi if you beat us.
Please take him. Rahm Emanuel and San Francisco Mayor Ed Lee have made the friendly wager on the playoff series between the Cubs and the San Francisco Giants. National League Division Series... Here's what's going on. Emanuel says the Cubs are, quote, the best team in baseball.
He's right.
I said that.
Everybody said that.
You said that.
It's obvious.
A
People
baby
who have never
said
seen
that.
Baseball know that.
And he fully expects them to win. He says if the Cubs lose, he'll send a variety of Chicago products to San Francisco, including a cheesecake from Eli's Cheesecake and a bottle of single barrel bourbon from Koval Distillery.
All right, that's not bad.
That's Chicago's?
That's the one. It has the Chicago flags on it.
Yeah.
You have a flag on it, yeah.
It's organic whiskey. Does that matter?
I don't know.
He's also going to make a donation to a charity of Mayor Ed Lee's choice.
That's nice. Who pays for that? The taxpayers? Who picks up the tab on that?
That's a great question. That's a good question.
I didn't even think we have a budget in place. Can we really be doing that? I mean, I like when people donate money to charity, but is it our mayor's money or is it the
taxpayers? I bet it is, because it doesn't say how much the donation is.
All right.
And Eli's, since they get the mention, I'm sure that's covered.
I'm also almost positive you can't bet people money.
Well, it's a donation.
All right.
To a charity. It's not going to give it to him. He's not going to profit for it. If San Francisco loses, Mayor Ed Lee will make a contribution to Chicago's Becoming a Man mentoring program and send two bottles of local whiskey. So they're doing
There's always whiskey involved for
I've
some weird reason.
I've not heard liquor in the bets before. Have you?
No.
It's usually pizza and cheesecake.
No, wait.
They've done beer before.
They have
right?
done,
I
yeah,
Goose Island. Goose Island.
Liquor,
yeah.
though.
No, this, no.
Bourbon, single barrel bourbon from Koval Distillery, which where is that? I'd like to go check it out.
I'm not sure where they're located.
It's in Ravenswood.
Oh, is it, Kevin? Yeah.
Yeah, right up by me.
Oh. And then two bottles of local whiskey and a contribution. Where's the Carnegie Deli's? Oh, wait, where are they from? San Francisco? What else can they give us?
Carnegie Deli's New York.
Yeah, I know. I got confused as to who we
got
were playing.
Got Rice-A-Roni.
Yeah, why doesn't he throw in Rice-A-Roni?
That's the San Francisco treat.
A cable car? What else could he throw? It just seems like that's not a good bet. He should throw in more, Mayor Lee.
Yeah. Yeah, the cheesecake alone is worth a couple of things. Please, don't embarrass us, Mayor Lee.
Whiskey and Chicago's Becoming a Man mentoring program. Why don't you go to that?
Can I? That's a shot. you didn't watch Deadwood when it was on, did you?
No.
The old Western show on HBO?
No.
I'm trying to remember who Hunter Pence used to play on Deadwood. You've seen him, right?
Yes.
Looks like he's from the Old West. Every time I see him, I go, that guy shouldn't be playing outfield. He should be looking for gold in some hills somewhere.
He does look like
it's a gold mine, cracky. It just looks like a guy could be like kicking up his heels because he found gold nuggets somewhere in the outfield.
He does look. He also looks like the guy from the Spin Doctors, the lead singer of the Spin Doctors.
Yes, he does.
I can't think of his
yes,
name.
Yes, he does.
Sorry.
They showed him a couple times in the dugout with his hat off, and his hair goes straight up in the air.
He's a weird-looking chap.
Like Static Kling. It looks like somebody took Hunter Pence and rubbed him up against their leg or something and then stuck him to a wall because his hair just sticks straight up.
Yeah, I don't...
He's from another era.
He does look like a miner.
Yeah. Looks like if Woody Harrelson just lost his mind, which isn't that big of a stretch. You've seen Woody Harrelson, right?
Yes.
What if Woody Harrelson just said, I don't care anymore. I'm never going to brush my hair again.
It is kind of crazy.
Isn't it?
He's the outfielder for the Giants.
Yeah, he plays right field.
He rides a scooter to work.
Does he really?
He rides an electric scooter to Giants home games at AT&T Park.
All right. I have more respect for him. I think that's cool.
He's a great motivator.
Back in the Old West.
He looks like somebody saying Bill S. Preston Esquire, which is from...
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Yeah. He does a little bit.
He's a good player.
Is this on a fun facts page?
Yes, I know. It's
fun facts you probably didn't know about Hunter Pence. He's a good baseball player.
He's everyone's favorite whipping boy.
He just looks startled all the time. Every time you see him, he looks startled. I didn't know there'd be a baseball game.
Some listener has texted us and says he looks like the character from Oliver.
Fagin. He does. He looks like Fagin from Oliver.
Who was the... Was there a Cub player? Who
Ron
had...
Moody. We had him in the studio, remember, about a year and a half ago?
There
he was here with the
else...
cast of Oliver.
No, I'm trying... There was a pitcher who had that Billy Goat's gruff beard, too.
A lot over the last couple
was
of years.
Was it White
Matt,
Sox or...
Matt Clement, the pitcher on the Cubs for a while.
I think there was a Sox player, too. That's not a good look.
But he... With him, it's not just the beard. His whole look is like that. He looks like he's transported from another time. He wears his socks all the way up.
I like that look.
Yeah.
I really like that look. That's old school. I like that.
It is.
I wish more players would do that.
All right, let's do this. We need to take a break. The news is coming up next, and then a big, long show, including Eric Zorn, will be by at 11:35, and we will discuss last night's debate. So stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I refuse to sing this song.
Sing a little bit of it.
No.
Try a little bit of it. You're going to love it. You're going to love it.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Bill is a baseball fan, likes both teams.
Yep.
I gave you crap about that for years.
Yep.
You love baseball.
I sure do. It's America's pastime.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a Sox fan my whole life because my grandfather was a Sox fan. I grew up in Brookfield. I'm a Sox fan, but I am not hating on the Cubs anymore.
Good. And you do. You physically feel better because of it, right? There's no room for all the hatred. Why the hatred?
Why can't we have two winning teams in Chicago?
Why can't we?
I still don't really... I'm not saying I like the Cubs. I don't dislike the Cubs. Does that make sense?
You can't find a single thing about them that
not
you could
now.
Possibly dislike right now.
Before, there were some blowhard players that I didn't like.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not thrilled with the fact that Aroldis Chapman is their closer. I'm not happy about that at all.
I thought about that, and I don't know how you can support them.
I'm not happy about that one bit. I'm really not. I wish they would have went with their old closer. That would have been fine by me. He's the fastest guy in baseball, so I understand from a business standpoint, you're missing one piece to the puzzle. Get the fastest guy in baseball to be your closer. But I'm not happy about that.
But then how can you support the Cubs? That's what I mean. That's what I'm confused. I thought about you this weekend.
There's no way to justify it. I'd be lying to you if I justified it.
But you're not rooting for him. You're rooting for the team.
Right. Had I bought tickets, you know, I had a chance
right.
to get tickets to the game on Friday. I didn't get it. I would not have rooted when he came into the game. I refuse to ever applaud for the man. I find him a very hard guy to like for obvious reasons. For people who don't know his history, look it up online. It's not pretty. That said, with the exception of that, there's little to anything you could find about the Cubs to not like right now.
They're fun. They're a team. They're young. There's togetherness. There's a great general manager.
Everything is in place.
Is working.
Yep.
And we have a special caller.
We sure do. Rich Trout is the brother of former Cub and White Sox player Steve Trout, and he's part of a baseball dynasty. The Trout family knows how to play baseball, and Rich, as it turns out, is a huge baseball fan. Rich, you were on Channel 9 News the other day, weren't you?
Yes, I was.
I thought so.
The midday news.
That's right.
And see, like your brother did both teams. I don't like the Cubs, but I don't dislike the Cubs, and I'm proud of what's going on right now.
I agree with you that I don't have any hatred for the Southside team. In fact, my brother Steve was drafted by the White Sox back in the 70s, and I negotiated his first contract.
Did you?
With the White Sox. My mom at the time, because my dad had been a player in the 40s, and she felt that getting a lawyer was not the way to go, old school. So she said, you're smart enough, you negotiate the contract. So we had good times on the South Side when he was there, and then in 83, he was traded to the Cubs, and then the magical year of 84 occurred when Sutcliffe won his first game in the playoffs and Steve won the second game, and then all we had to do was win one more game in San Diego, and we all know how that ended.
Steve Garvey had other plans, didn't he?
Well, not only Steve Garvey, but we made our own bed. We had a couple of errors that that changed things around. So I was devastated by that, but it happened on October 4th in 84, and I was consoled by the fact that my daughter Lindsay was born that day.
Oh.
So I was thrilled by that. But since then, I've gone to, since Steve has all the talent with his arm, I turned to writing poetry. And not only did I write the one that they referred to on the news, but I had a challenge from Dina that day that she said, I can't wait for the next one. And I had no intentions of writing another one, but she said, well, after the victory. And then I got to thinking, well, you know what? I can't sleep after each victory anyway. So what I'll do is I will keep a journal. I will write a poem after every game. And then hopefully put it together so when we win the World Series, all the games will be there. So that's exactly what I did. I wrote a poem after game one called The Baez Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then we won that one. Then I wrote another one called Knock on Wood for game two.
Travis Wood?
Yeah, they have, I hope, a little bit of creativity and cleverness to them. But I thought if you had the time, I could share either one with you or both, whatever you'd like.
Yeah, well, give us...
I didn't hear the first one, so can you give us the first one, and we'll take a break and come back and hear the second one?
Sure.
All okay, right.
Nobody's heard this one yet. This is brand new, the Baez ball, okay? It's that time of year, baseball fans, when we enter the postseason. I must admit, I pull for one. To do otherwise would be treason. The Chicago Cubs have proved themselves to be the very best team, and now three foes stand in their way to try to crush their dream. The Giants came to Chicago, man, with some history on their side. Since 2010, they won three times, and in that they took pride. But this year would be different, as no Cubby fan could doubt. This will be that special year which ends the century drought. Joe Maddon set his lineup and chose John Lester for game one. He trusted his stud pitcher to take the ball and get it done. So on that Friday evening, as millions watched and prayed, Big John proved to every Cubby fan the right call had been made. It was a pitcher's duel between two warriors at their best. And when they had some trouble, both did pass the test. Great defensive plays were made and kept the score at zero. Fans and players alike did ask, who will be the hero? Grandpa Ross, our catcher, set the defensive pace when he threw out one at second and picked one off first base. And the Giants, to their credit, turned sure hits into outs. Great pitching and good defense kept the game in doubt. The tension grew more palpable in innings 1 through 8. The fans were smelling victory as Baez stepped up to the plate. Cueto tried a quick pitch to catch the youngster unaware, but Baez took a mighty swing and hit it in the air. When Wrigley Field arose and watched that ball take flight, joy was put on hold as it fought through the wind that night. Oh, yes. Oh, no. Will it go? For fans' time seemed to stop. They saw Pagan go to the wall and waited for it to drop. As if guided by Ron Santo's spirit, it fell into the basket, and Cubs fans everywhere went wild. I know I blew my gasket. Not even Mother Nature could deny this team's destiny. That home run could be a blow that lives on in history. But the game was not yet over. A ninth inning we must face. That is why we made the trade and got a bullpen ace. While not quite perfect, Chapman gives us what we need. He strikes guys out and throws the ball at an unheard-of speed. So when two outs came easily, things looked rather rosy. But the rose began to fade after a double by Buster Posey. The next man up could hit the ball right fielder Hunter Pence. He was one guy capable of reaching that left field fence. But Chapman had a different plan to end the game without delay. Let our hero Javi field the ball and make the play. So yes, Chicago Cubby fans, that was a sweet, sweet win. And while it's not over yet, the magic number stands at 10.
Take that, Robert Frost. Come on. Wow, Rich. Nicely done, sir. All right, can we take a quick break, and are you up for a second poem? Are you good?
I got it ready for you, sure.
Oh, you're so good. All right.
We got to hook you guys up because your Jake Arrieta song and Rich Trout's poems. We could do something
with this.
We're going to
tour. Rich and I are going to tour.
I love it.
All right, stick around. More baseball chat next. We're at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to jump in. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Oh, Arrieta, Jacob Arrieta, Arrieta. He's my favorite Cub. Almost pitched a perfect game. Destined for the Hall of Fame. Freeze the frame. Shout his name. Perfect game. Hall of Fame.
Oh.
This is when music was music, Wendy.
Arrieta, Jacob. Arrieta. We are talking
to... these Third Eye Blind punks.
Rich Trout is on the line with us. Of course, the brother of baseball great Steve Trout.
And the son of Dizzy Trout.
That's right.
And what have you heard Bill's Jake Arrieta song before, Rich?
Not before, but I liked it.
Oh, thank you,
you
sir.
Two really should get on the road together.
He's a wordsmith. He always has been.
Thank you, Rich. That's so nice of you. You just treated us to
you?
One. Yeah. We just got to hear one of your poems, but it's not the only one you've written this week. Give us the other one, please.
Okay, this one is the Game 2 summary. I called it Knock on Wood. The NLDS is underway with Game 2 at Wrigley Field. Game 1 was a classic, but now that victory is sealed. We started the professor who led the league in ERA, knowing that if he was on his game, the team would be okay. We broke the tension early. Dexter Fowler got a double. When Zobris knocked him in, the Giants were in trouble. Their pitcher, Jeff Samardzija, once a Cub, I do not jest, returned to Wrigley Field. We did not treat him as a guest. Jason Howard got it rolling with a two-base hit to right. A Baez walk and Contreras hit brought the crowd to light. But next up was the pitcher with two RBIs this year. With steely eyes, this Dartmouth grad proved he had no fear. Take that, he said, and crushed a blooper to center field. Two runs scored, we led by three, a lead we would not yield. With no one out, we were not yet done. In just the second inning, a Bryant hit knocked in another. The fun was just beginning. By inning four, it was 4-2. They had caught up a bit. But worse than that, our pitcher, by a batted ball, was hit. Kyle had to leave the game. He did all that he could. To the bullpen, Joe was forced to go, so he knocked on wood. Travis is a fearless guy. He smiled as he doffed his pitching hat. He smiled because he knew right then that he would get the bat. With one great swing, he did something not done in 92 years. That home run, wasn't it fun? Elated both fans and his peers. Now it was time for Skipper Joe to put his plan into action. Five men from the bullpen came in and pitched to his satisfaction. He used each one short, and for that he had a good reason. He wanted to give each man he pitched a taste of the postseason. Yet in the ninth, Joe knew in his heart that anything could happen. So with a wry grin, he called to the pen, "Okay, send in Chapman." There was no doubt as he struck two men out with a speed of 103. The fans aglow sang, "Go, Cubs, go," the anthem of sweet victory.
How about that?
Isn't that beautiful? Rich, first of all, great job. Second of all, selfishly, I couldn't wait to hear how you would rhyme something with Samardzija. Yeah. You got around that nicely.
That was a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no words in the English language, I think, that rhyme with Samardzija. So.
All right. Well,
I think what poets have to do when that happens is they just have to do what I did and put it in the middle.
Right.
Bury it in the middle. That's what you do.
Well played. Well played.
All right. So game number three is tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight. So there'll be another one after tonight, win or lose.
Hopefully
there'll be one after every game, and there'll be 11 victories, and we'll put them all into a book for Cubs fans to go over after we win the World Series.
Beautiful.
And do you have a website or something where if people weren't tuned in, they know where to find your poems?
No, I'm a website for me. No,
Twitter.
I'm old school. I'm in my 70s now, so I'm half out of the technology game. My son, who put up my original poem on his Facebook page, the one, A Season to Remember, the big one, he put on his Facebook page, he said it's got like 6,000 hits
already. Nice.
But so he does my technology for me. Just 2 days ago, he said, "Dad, you need to get on Facebook." And so he's I'm begrudgingly going along with him. But I don't have a website, although I guess I could ask my son to put these on his Facebook page. David Trout might put them on his Facebook page, and then they could be shared. But I'm open to suggestion. If WGN wants to put them up on their website, that would be fine with me.
We can make that happen,
we
right?
We can put Randy? It up There's... on our Facebook
yeah,
page.
Yeah, we can put it up there. You want to do that?
Well, that's fine. Yeah, I'll hang on with your producer, and he can tell me how to get them to you.
Excellent, excellent. And you know this already, Rich. The real money's in poetry. You know that.
Yeah, I'm getting richer off this. I'll tell you.
Look at the Fortune 500 list. It's all poets.
Yeah, I know that. I've been a teacher for 40 years, so I know where the money
is. Sure.
Yep. It's not on the picket line.
Thank you so much for sharing with us, and we will share with Cubs fans. I'm not a Cubs fan, okay? So please don't make
That's
me say
okay.
I'm a Cubs fan.
That's right.
But I'm sharing in the love and the excitement. How's that?
Amen.
This feels good.
Yep. Very diplomatic of you.
We'll put it on our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder. So thank you so much, Rich Trout. Hang on. We'll set you up with Kevin, and you can get him your poems.
Thank you, too.
Absolutely, Rich. Take care. How about that?
I'm telling you, you got to get the two of you on the road. You can sing a cappella. He can go do the poems
right.
And get Ronnie Woo Woo in there somehow.
Oh, that's a great show. That is a full show. All right. We'll take
Boo and Woo for Halloween. Come on.
I'm in. I want to do that. All right.
No money in that either.
How many seats at the Chicago Theater? Is there enough seats? All right, a break. Ryan's got the news, and then Eric Zorn comes up. We're going to talk about last night's debate. Stay here, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Well, it's been very, very difficult for Wendy and myself to not talk about last night's debate, but we said to ourselves, Eric Zorn is coming in. Let's chat with Eric about last night's debate, and that's what we're doing. Eric, of course, a fine, fine writer for your Chicago Tribune.
And feisty.
And somewhat feisty. Somewhat feisty, yes.
Oh, are you feisty?
I'm stealing your feist away, I think.
Last night's debate was, if you had to sum it up in a word, it would be?
I think it was satisfying for backers of Donald Trump. If you are a big backer of Donald Trump and you buy into all of his attacks on Hillary Clinton, you were very satisfied with what you heard last night. He took the case to her that he failed to do that in the first debate. Mm-hmm. He got off track. He lost energy. This debate, he stayed pretty much on track, and he brought up Benghazi. He brought up the emails.
Sure.
He went after her on a number of things that they have been wanting him to go after her on for a long time. And also, he went after her on Bill Clinton's infidelities.
Yeah.
Excuse me, how does that have anything to do with her?
Well, because he was deflecting. That's the one thing I learned last night is if I ever say or do anything horrible and I'm called out on it, I will explain to everybody how I will defeat ISIS. That's what he did.
Yep. So he did in the first answer, yeah. Well, I mean, his answer for that is, well, because, you know, there were all these problems that were coming up during the 92 run and then when Monica Lewinsky came about. And what was Hillary Clinton's role in orchestrating the effort to discredit some of these women who were coming forward?
Yeah.
And what did she say to them? What did she do? And the New York Times did a pretty long look at this.
Yeah.
By Megan Toohey, who used to work in our newsroom maybe a week and a half ago. And they didn't find a whole lot there in terms of like things that you could say, well, Hillary Clinton said this, did this. I mean, she was part of the inner circle, and Clinton's inner circle was trying to discredit some of these women who were coming forward. There's no question about that.
But what about the added bonus of having several of the women there in attendance? What is that exactly proving? I'm not positive.
They were put there directly to rattle Hillary Clinton.
It didn't work.
She didn't look all that rattled, and she didn't. You know, she did not play a lot of offense last night. I think she got in some solid points. I thought she did a fine job. She let Trump talk. And she knew that the post-debate referees, the fact-checkers, were going to show you how many times, how comprehensively he lies, how mm-hmm. he says things. And, you know, the one thing that was just kind of hilarious was that he denied telling people to go look at some porn tape.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Well, he thought that there was some porn tape involving the Miss Universe contestant. And he said someone accused him of going and telling people to look at a porn tape. He said, I never did that. And this was like less than 2 weeks ago.
Right.
He tweeted this out and it says, go look at the porn tape.
Right.
Which doesn't porn video, but it doesn't actually exist. But in any case, it's like things like that. He's unmoored from the facts in so many ways. So I think her strategy was not quite rope-a-dope, but she seemed content not to engage with him on that. I mean, the whole Bill Clinton question came up, right? He brought that up pretty early in the debate. He pivoted off the tape, the Billy Bush Access Hollywood tape that came out on Friday.
The Bushy, as he refers to himself.
Yeah. And that tape, which caused such consternation among Republicans and in the Trump camp all weekend long, to the point that I think by the time they got to that debate on Sunday night, Trump realized he had absolutely nothing to lose by opening up all the guns on Hillary and on this debate. He couldn't come out and try to be presidential and change people's attitudes about him in a way that was going to rescue his campaign. So he decided he was going to solidify his base by coming on really strong. And you know, I did my column, which is already online for tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
but it talks about how inappropriate and shocking it was for him to threaten to put her in jail.
Right. How about that moment?
That does not seem right or presidential.
Or American.
Yes.
It's not what we do here. We put
your opponents in jail.
When we defeat our political opponents, we shake hands, we offer concession speeches and congratulations, and we move on with orderly transitions of power. And, you know, you saw that with President Obama. He did not listen to the calls on the far left to prosecute Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld for war crimes.
Right.
I mean, they back off of this.
Can I ask you a favor? Put your headphones on because people are calling up, and I want you to be able to hear them so you can respond. Do you have
a pair? Are you sure I want to hear them?
You want to hear these. 312-981-7200, of course, is our phone line and our text line.
And Kathy has called in. Kathy, we're talking to the feisty Eric Zorn. Go.
Hi, actually, I want to say, because last time Eric Sorn was on, I called up. You're already gone. You're off. But I want to say you had the best speech for an apology for the John Kahn family for Donald, which he certainly didn't do, but you took several days to think of it. It was wonderful. Okay, what I'm calling now, and I believe the language that Donald used, he said this was locker room talk. Was that his phrase, or what was it?
Yeah, that's what he said.
That's what he said it was, yeah.
Okay, where did it take place?
On a bus.
On a bus. It's bus talk, too.
No, that was at on-site. That was a job, and he was meeting an associate. So what would any of you, if you do something privately with your friends or something, say something, but when you're at work now, would you get away with a lot of this?
Well, I've
what
had this.
Would happen to you?
No, we wouldn't get away with it. And I've had this conversation right. with a lot of men, and you know, men can be crude, but it's not about. I have never, in all the locker rooms I've been in, and all the male bonding crude talk I've had, I've never hurt anybody, and certainly not myself ever, said anything that talks about sort of glorifying the kind of sexual assault that he's talking about.
No, and that's what Jake Tapper said when it was mentioned by Mayor Giuliani, and he said, I have never heard that. I have never said it. I would never accept it. So it doesn't, because Mayor Giuliani was saying, well, this happens and people do this. It's like, no, not normal people do this. But actually, you were very good on the phone.
Well, the thing is, Wendy said that even
Kathy.
That even in radio, even in the degraded world,
I've
of
heard
radio,
a lot.
The
but
lowest of the low.
Seriously,
the low people hang out. You haven't heard things like
and
that.
And part of me thinks, you know, he was just trying to look like a big shot in front of the bushy, you know. But still, that tells you what kind of a character what character he doesn't have.
Do you think,
have.
Is this going to be a Bill Cosby moment for him? Are there going to be women who are going to come out of the woodwork to accuse him of these things? Because that certainly...
Well, they've already put down a mandate to the people over at The Apprentice to not release any audio or video that they might have on file. So that tells you...
Well, this is the tip of the iceberg. Why can't they release it?
Well, because
they don't want to. I think Mark Burnett is a friend or supporter of Trump, so they don't want those out.
Can I ask, when he was... For people who don't know, he made some very lewd comments about a couple of women, most notably Nancy O'Dell, who's an entertainment reporter. When talking to Billy Bush about him trying to have his way with her, he mentioned twice that she was married as kind of that was like the tail end of a sentence. You know, I tried, I did this, I tried that. She's married, like that. What's that part of it mean? Is that his way of saying the only reason I didn't get farther is that she's married?
Wasn't he married at the time?
He was.
It's a built-in excuse, but he did try that trick, Bill, that all men know, taking women furniture shopping.
Yes.
Hey, that would work for me.
Yes.
I got to be honest with you.
I thought that was our secret trick, and now he's blown. He's told the whole world.
Get anything you want if
IKEA,
you take furniture shopping.
I tell you what.
I know.
Tic Tac wants to get away from him, too. I thought that was so funny when they tweeted that out. Like, I can't remember their exact statement, but we want nothing to do with this.
Right, yeah. All right, more with Eric Zorn and your calls and thoughts at 312-981-7200. More coming. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Eric Zorn is here of the Chicago Tribune. Another thing that I have to admit Trump seemed to get right yesterday was, and this is so Trumpian, is that whenever anything's thrown at him, there's a quick deflection. If you ask him about the way his attitude towards women is, he goes, well, Bill Clinton's worse. Several times yesterday, he mentioned how Bernie Sanders was right about you.
Yeah.
The way you did this. He seemed to figure that part of it out, whereas I'm never the scapegoat. It's somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, as I said, if you look at this debate from the point of view of someone who supported him before, you're going to like his performance because he did a better job than he did before in not answering the question you're asked, but answering the question you wish you'd been asked. And this is what, you know, politicians learn, I think, in their fifth day of politician school is you learn how to pivot off.
He called himself a politician last night, too, remember?
Yeah. And I think that his first, I mean, he bragged about the first debate performance, but he knew and everybody else knew that he did terribly in that because he fell for every little piece of chum that she threw on the wall.
Yeah.
And he ended up, getting, when you bring up Rosie O'Donnell in a debate, you know you've lost.
A little desperate.
That was research.
And he was able last night to, to continue bringing it back to the case against the Clintons, which is what that's all he's running on now is anger against Hillary Clinton.
The sniffing, okay? It's not the microphone. He was obviously sniffing, and I noticed my husband Jim did the drinking game and was wasted very early on in the debate every time he sniffed, and I noticed almost every time he sniffed, he would say "and" afterwards. Like that was his stall tactic when he was talking about business or taxes. I believe he knows what he's talking about, but when it was something like, what would you do for this? Well, and it was like just some time for him to pause and think of what he was going
to
say.
He may be able to get that the neosinephrine endorsement.
Oh, maybe. That's possible. More calls are coming in. Again, we're at 312-981-7200. Kathy has a theory. Hello, Kathy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. First of all, can you hear me?
Sure.
Okay, because the screener was having a problem.
No, you sound good.
Okay. I think what we all need to remember is that that debate doesn't mean anything to Trump supporters. I know Kathy and Judy had a show on Saturday morning where they politely asked Trump supporters to call in and politely explain whether the tapes Friday night meant anything to them or not. And the first two women called were absolutely livid. They said it's the left-wing media who are promoting this. The real issues are immigration and the economy. And, you know, they don't want to hear anything else. And as far as Donald Trump not having a ground game, he doesn't need one in politics because his supporters are energized and angry enough to get up and vote themselves. But these debates and the tapes and everything else aren't meaning anything to them. It's not going to change anyone's mind.
Well, I think you'll be surprised, and the Trump campaign is going to be surprised at how important that ground game is, that get out the vote effort on election day that the Democrats have really mastered. Is it? It's hard to get people out to vote. That they say they're going to vote for you, they want to vote for you, but they get busy, they forget, they think they're going to vote after work, and then they work late, they don't get there, and you have to be on their case. And this is, you know, the ground game is really important in politics. But as for what Kathy said about the other stuff, yeah, I think that's really true, that these things don't matter, that tape didn't matter to Trump supporters.
You know why that's upsetting?
Thank you for calling, though, Kathy. We appreciate it.
If I was the most hardcore of Trump supporters, if I had worked on his campaign for months and months and months, and then I heard this, just the way he feels he can overtake a woman, grab a woman, have his way with a woman. If I was a woman, or if I'm a guy who's married to a woman and has daughters.
Or was born of a woman.
Or, yeah. Right. So if I'm a man or a woman for different reasons and I hear this, I go, that's the guy that I'm giving my time and my vote to? Why would I do that?
Well, Kathy mentioned that these callers were saying that, well, immigration is important, the economy is important.
All of it's important.
They are important, but you need somebody who has the right temperament,
yep,
and the right character to be president.
Character.
And if you don't, then you're going to have someone who is not going to be able to get things, who's not going to be able to you know, promote an agenda, a sensible agenda. And you want someone who doesn't, who reacts well to pressure,
right,
who respects his constituents. And so, I mean, the whole thing, it is all of a piece. I get that we don't want to spend too much time talking about these somewhat side issues. We want to talk about the important issues that people have. But, you know, the character and temperament of your president is very important.
Isaac has a comment, which you got to get out here. Isaac, go ahead.
I just thought that Trump's comment at the end was like five times better than what Hillary said. Like,
what do you admire about each other's candidate? Of each other?
I felt like Hillary maybe should have lied and came up with something, you know, something a little more genuine, because his comment, like, I'm not voting for him, but I mean, that comment that he gave, I might vote for him.
So just to recap, what happened was they asked me to name something that you admire about the other person. Rather than attack, what do you admire? And they went first to Hillary Clinton, and she said, I admire Donald Trump's children because they seem like such good people. Now, I actually kind of admire Ivanka.
That would be the only one.
The right. Boys seem like
the other
thugs.
Four, like the Addams Family.
So they're like the villains at the camp across the lake in some teen summer film.
She should have said his tenacity. That's what I thought she could have done in an honest way.
And then what he said, he admired what a fighter she was.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I mean, that was a good answer.
He won one answer.
I thought that was a good answer. I think I agree with Isaac. That was a good answer. I don't think her answer was terrible. I mean, it was a little bit damning by faint praise, right? But You know, this has been a very, very harsh campaign.
But he could have capitalized and said, if you admire my children so much, you have to realize good kids don't just happen by accident. It comes as a product of good parenting.
That's so not true,
though. That's not true. We all know
that's
not true.
That's not true. A person develops on their own. Parenting can lead them in the right direction, but all that's said and done, a person turns into what they are on their own.
Yeah.
Because he has really good comebacks, like, throughout all of his, like, he's just really good. I'm 19, and, like, so... Whenever, like, you know, she said something, like, with the, I'll put you, you'll be in jail comment.
Yeah, you like that?
Okay, he got her with that one, he got her. I mean, yeah, I just was like, that was a good, you know.
But do you want a president who gives good zingers, or do you want someone that you trust to run the country?
Because then Gallagher would be our president.
No, I get what you're saying, but I'm just like, you have to, you know... Give him props.
He's
that,
a performer. He's showbiz. He does a great job.
And actually, you know, Isaac, I disagree. I mean, it was like, you know, it was a little one-liner, and it got actually people clapped in the room.
She had no support in that room.
I do not want our country to devolve into a place where when you lose an election, your opponent moves to put you in jail. That's what we see in banana republics and dictatorships.
And other stores in the mall.
Yes. Isaac, thank you so much. Are you decided on what you're voting for? This is your first election, huh?
Yeah, I'm pretty decided.
We're all afraid to ask. You want to tell us? You don't have to. You can.
No, I'm going to vote for Hillary. And the reason is because I'm taking this international relations class in college. And it's just like, I feel like she's willing enough just kind of to do what it takes. You know, like, not really kind of care about the little person. Like, I mean, in terms of, like, the, you know, international relations and domestically speaking. But, I think I'm going to be voting for Hillary.
I'll bet you know more about international situation because of the class you've taken than Donald Trump does. Seriously.
I'll take that bet. You're right.
I'm voting for you, Isaac. Yeah. You got
Thank
my
you,
vote.
Isaac. Thank you, Isaac. We appreciate you calling.
Isaac 2020.
He's almost that old.
Martha Raddatz, Anderson Cooper knocked it out of the park.
I thought they did
an awesome job trying to keep things on track last night.
Pretty much, yeah. I thought at one point Martha Raddatz, it seemed like she was starting to argue with Trump, and I thought that she went a little too far there. She should have dialed it back, but basically, yeah, they kept it on track. And he
said at one point, this is one against three. Was it one against three? Do you remember that moment?
Yes, I do remember that moment. I didn't quite understand. He complained. They just talked about the emails.
Yeah.
And then he turned and said, Anderson, why aren't you bringing up the emails?
I know.
Because we're talking about the emails. I'm not going to bring it up again.
And she chose not to continue, so that she ended it.
Yeah. I mean, the subject came up. There were a lot of issues that didn't come up that he could have brought
right.
up, I suppose.
Right.
But no, I thought they did a pretty good job. I'm really looking forward to the next one real quickly. It's going to be Chris Wallace, I believe, from
yes.
Fox News.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah, I think that's
that
right.
Sounds
and,
right.
And that's going to be interesting because he's pretty tough. And I know he's from Fox News. But
is that on the 19th?
It's on the 19th.
Sound
yes.
right? Thanks, Eric.
We'll
appreciate
see
it.
We'll
Have a great rest of the week.
Yes,
we'll be right back and find out what's coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Kim. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. Second half of our Monday show. We're thrilled that you're listening. If you want to jump in with a call or a text, I would say 312-981-7200 would probably get that done.
I don't even know what to say.
Because why?
I just, you know, there's a lot of vitriol being thrown about after this debate last night.
Yeah.
On the text lines.
Before, during, and after.
Yeah, you're right. I just, I don't know where to begin.
It's not, I don't think when they first came up with the concept of the presidential debate, I don't think last night's presentation was representative of what their idea was. Do you?
No. And
it shouldn't just be defending yourself.
He said, she said is all that
was. That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
She tried to get some policies out. I just am confused because a lot of people who are Trump supporters,
yeah.
which I'll tell you right now, I'm not. I don't really necessarily love Hillary either.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't.
Mm-hmm.
Trump is not a person I would like to be president of the United States of America.
To his credit, he actually did get a couple of policy moments in. He drilled her on Obamacare, seemed to want to blame it more on any of the mistakes in it on her than on anybody else. And, you know, I guess if there was one of the soft spots last night, although affordable health care is something that they're striving to make right, there are still several flaws.
Which she admitted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And starting from scratch, I mean, I don't know anything about it. I don't plan health care. I don't, and I never will. So she was saying, you know, to start from scratch would be very difficult and would cost more money. We have to kind of fix the things that aren't running right. Isn't that how things are done typically?
It would have been impossible. They basically revamped the whole healthcare system, and you can't get that done on the first try, and you can't get that done in a couple of months or a year or two. That's something that gradually needs to be fixed a little bit here and a little bit there. Admittedly, it's far from perfect. I mean, I got emails last time you and I talked about it. I got several emails from listeners saying, here's what I used to pay, here's what I pay now,
right,
and it's for poorer care. And I'm so sympathetic to that.
And there are other people who text in and say, it was a godsend for me and has changed my life, and we'd be lost without it. So that's how it rolls. I mean, some things are going to affect you and some things are not. A little fact checking. There were a lot of people, I did not comment about any debate type things on Twitter or Facebook because I don't want to get into it with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Because no one can have a conversation. And a lot of the people that I am friends with were kind of saying, really? Fact check, go to HillaryClinton.com. Like, I'm going to go there. It's all going to be swayed. We have other places that fact checked.
Right.
Can we talk about that? Please use,
if you want to follow up, there are dozens of more neutral sites. As twisted as that sounds, I agree with that. If you're going to go to one of the fact-checking services or the other, maybe Trump.com or HillaryClinton.com isn't your best bet.
But then go somewhere else and get it.
Right.
I don't even know where to begin.
You found which one are you going?
Politico.com.
That's one of the ones that I would highly recommend. They seem to be neutral when they can be. I know that sounds loaded, but you know what I mean? There's sometimes you can't be neutral.
They, according to Politico.com, 13 times Trump was dead wrong at the debate, 2 times Clinton was.
Does it cite the examples?
Let me find it.
When they were dead wrong. Not just a little bit wrong, but dead wrong.
All right. Trump largely got away without answering at all, which I noticed on a lot of things. And Martha and Anderson would try and get him back on track.
Mm-hmm.
But he just, and good for him, he just would go his own way, as Fleetwood Mac once sang.
The most glowing example, we talked about this earlier, is question number 2 had to do with these conversations that Donald Trump had with Billy Bush about Nancy O'Dell, and his answer was how he's going to defeat ISIS. So you say to yourself as you're watching this, you go, the question was not about how you're going to defeat ISIS.
Right.
The question was about the conversation you had about women. So answer that question.
Do you still feel that way or something?
And then go
like
get ISIS. Even guys in ISIS were listening going, oh, Trump, what are you doing?
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Bill, because people in foreign countries that are watching this debate, because it's turned into a complete mockery.
Right.
It's embarrassing. I am getting to the point where I'm not that proud to be an American right now.
Well,
I'm still proud. I don't mean that sincerely, but it's embarrassing. It's a presidential debate, and you're... Billy Bush gets brought up. I mean, what in God's name has happened
Rosie
to this
O'Donnell
country?
Rosie O'Donnell the first time around. Billy Bush this time around.
Just proves it's a reality show.
This all, honestly, Ashton Kutcher's not behind this, and this isn't just being taped for episode like of a year-long. Right.
That's
a year-long
like
version of Punked.
Sweeps Week Punked.
Asked about a 2005 tape, the one that he was talking with Billy Bush.
Yeah.
Trump repeatedly dismissed it as locker room talk, by which he was embarrassed and for which he had apologized. And in the end, he largely dismissed it, saying, frankly, you hear these things. I got to tell you, I don't hear it like that.
But listen, if you there are transcripts of this everywhere. There are tapes of it. There are transcripts of it.
You can listen to the unedited tapes.
Listen to it and try to figure out exactly. Even if it were locker room talk, the locker room talk was when you're rich and powerful, you can have anyone you want. That's the gist of that conversation, is he's a big star, and if he wants somebody, he can go and get that somebody. That's frightening. I mean, it's not shocking because it's Donald Trump, and that's kind of the image that he's projected over the years. But to just hear him say it, and I don't understand. We brought this up with Eric Zorn earlier. Twice he dismisses it as the reason he couldn't obtain Nancy O'Dell, who's an entertainment reporter, is because he throws it out at the end. You know, she's married. It's like a quick throwaway.
But that's the only reason she wouldn't have given in to his...
Right.
man.
And by the way, his physical method of obtaining a woman.
Not pleasurable.
Does not sound that pleasurable.
Nope.
Like, I would think that a woman, upon that have happened to them, would say...
He doesn't know how to do it. That's what I would say.
Right. Right. His method
is... Foreplay? Really?
Is a little bit off.
Neanderthalic?
Yes. At least Neanderthalic. What came before the Neanderthal era? Was there one
dinosaurs.
Before that?
That's how the dinosaurs did it.
Yeah. Was Protozoic era before Neanderthal era?
I don't know,
I don't remember.
We have to take a break, but we have people who would like to talk. 312-981-7200. We'll talk to anyone. I mean, I'm getting mad at people saying, you know, you're this or you're that. I will tell you which way I'm going, and it's not for Trump. I'll say that right out loud now.
I'm using process of elimination. Give me a minute. Hold on. 1, 2, 3. Oh, I know. Okay.
But let's have a conversation. Try and sway me.
Right. That's fair. We're talking about last night's debate. I want to say the good, the bad, but there wasn't that much of the good. It was almost all the bad. We're 312-981-7200. Happy to take your calls and texts. More in a moment. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
312-981-7200.
Poetry talk.
It's hardly poetry talk.
It's the what is the opposite of poetry?
I don't know. Let's talk to George.
All right.
All right, George, go ahead. Georgie. George, don't make me grab you by the...
Oh, don't. Please don't.
George.
George,
can you make that rhyme?
3, 2.
Oh, man.
All right, George. Something happened with
Again,
your phone line.
Again, to the people listening, when you call, you have
say
to
hello.
Speak your thoughts. You can't just think them.
Kathy?
Hello?
Hi, Kathy.
That's better.
It is.
That's better.
Hi there. Okay, we'll do lunch one time.
All right.
I called him previously and mentioned that Donald and I suffer from the same ailment. We can't remember what we just forgot. He's worse than I am because within a minute he forgot the question that was asked of him. Okay. Now, remember when Hillary made a comment about the basket of the deplorables?
Yes.
It was?
Yes.
That was
okay,
the dumbest thing she could have ever said,
no,
ever.
I have to tell you now, though. I think that basket is getting crowded in there because if people could listen to what he said, I've listened to all debates but one, all long, and especially the last that we heard on him, they said that there's, well, you said that there's more supposedly out there and could still vote for him. I think there is a basket with a few people in there, and it's getting crowded.
Not half the way she first described it.
And that's not right of anybody to say, quite honestly.
But everybody...
Kathy,
thank
you
for
calling.
Anyone ever run for public office that doesn't have some quote-unquote undesirables in their basket? I mean, everybody does. You're going to appeal to a wide range of people, some of them learned scholars, some of them not, right?
I know a lot of learned scholars that are for Trump, and I'm confused. And I'd like them to help, again, sway me if you want.
Yeah. All right.
But I thought that was, she should have never said that. She put herself, you know, she's always touting taking, when they shoot low, you go high.
She said that last night
that
again.
That was not high.
Right. And she did, I mean, to her credit on this one, she quickly apologized for it and said
shouldn't
that was
it.
Inappropriate. And again, last night, she mentioned the fact that she shouldn't, so.
John, what are you thinking?
Well, I'd like to see more concentration on issues rather than, you know,
smear
personal
tactics.
Attacks. Something like Social Security, the Republicans would like to put in this what they call chain CPI, which is how they calculate cost of living raises. Now, listen to this.
All right.
If beef prices go up 5% or 10%, they're not going to count that as an increase because they're saying seniors will switch to chicken if beef prices go up, so they're not going to count the increase in beef prices. I suppose if chicken goes up, seniors can switch to dog food.
Oh, you can try tofu first. Come on, John.
And then dog food.
And Clinton and Elizabeth Warren, they want to go to a cost of living calculation that counts it, not the general cost of living, but cost of living that seniors spend money on, health care, food, housing, instead of travel and all this stuff that's not what seniors spend money on. If that calculation had been in place we would have gotten like 10% increase, and we've gotten nothing the last few years.
So your argument or complaint, I guess, is that they didn't really address issues that are important to you.
They didn't address issues, and the Republicans are all the Republicans care about is making the rich richer.
All right, John, thank you for calling. I don't want to, everybody has their own opinion on something, and we'd like your opinions, but you can't group everyone in the basket. You can't.
Right, no, I get it. I know.
All right, is this Rhodey?
Yes, it is.
All right, Rhodey, we only have a couple minutes here, so go ahead.
I just want to say that I don't like either of them. I think they're both pretty scummy. But as far as Hillary is concerned, I know Trump did the thing about with the women, and I don't like that. But I don't appreciate Hillary. I don't admire her for going along and staying with Bill when he was fornicating anything that walked through the White House door, and she was right there and knew about it and just stays with him. I don't appreciate a woman like that. I don't admire her. I don't think she is an honest person. I think she just wants the power. And nobody has ever addressed the point that the people in Congress, when they get their Social Security, they do not have to pay taxes on it. I'm a senior, get Social Security. The money we pay taxes on already, now when we get Social Security and we're a certain level of income, we have to pay taxes on it again. Who has ever addressed that point? Nobody.
Well, neither of them. And, Rhodey, I have to ask you, are you married or were you married at one point?
I'm married for 61 years.
And if your husband cheated on you, God forbid you have to say that because it's not going to happen. Isn't it kind of your own? Isn't it your own business to decide whether or not you continue that relationship? I was surprised that Hillary stayed with Bill Clinton after that, but it's none of my business. That's in her personal life.
It's not my business, but you know your business and my business are private business. These people are in public eye.
But this is their private life. This is their private life, whether or not they want to save their marriage.
And they did it in a public place. And that was very, he did it in a public place, in our place, in our house, which is the White House. And I just think that I don't admire her for staying with him because you don't know my husband and you probably will never talk to him. But he said if he did it once and I found out about it, he'd be out of there. And that's my private opinion because I don't believe in that, you know, I know mistakes happen, but that's too big of a mistake.
And these are repeated incidents. Thank you, Rhodey. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Thanks, Rhodey. Isn't it funny? I remember at the time there were several people, there were so many people who lost respect for her because she stayed with her husband. There were other people that had new respect for her because they said, well, here's a woman who's going to stick by this guy and see if they can turn things around. So it was very split.
I didn't lose respect for her, but it shocked me. She seemed like a strong... My husband said to me last night, so really, if I cheat on you, aren't I out the door? And I said, yeah, you're out the door immediately.
Yeah.
And that's not something... But again, it's like you can't put yourself in someone else's shoes. I'll tell you, for years I saw Bill and Hillary together. They didn't even act like they knew each other sometimes. And now, I don't know, is it just me? They seem to be really kind of at a place
in
where
love
they're...
again, almost. Yeah. Right.
It's kind of none of our business what somebody does with their private relationship.
You've heard the theory all along that this is more a business relationship than it is a marriage. And who really knows that except for them?
It used to look like that.
But not lately.
It really hasn't. And then with, you know, Chelsea involved and they really look genuinely happy and together as a cohesive unit at this point.
Don't you think as people get older too, they appreciate what they have and you have grandchildren and when you can look back on things.
You'd hope so.
Things don't seem so bad and you kind of really appreciate what's been. Yeah.
Right.
And it was brought up that, you know, Hillary laughed in the face of a 12-year-old who was raped. That is not true. Go to any fact checker at all.
Yeah, that was a harsh moment that is inaccurate.
No, and this Juanita Broderick, who I've been reading about, at the time she was allegedly raped by Bill Clinton, she was married to someone yet having an affair with someone else. I mean, who's to say, you know, she didn't just, maybe it was willing at the time and then she changed her mind. She said she wasn't doing this to come out to help any political party, but there she was in the front row thanks to Donald Trump's invitation.
Yeah.
So I'm puzzled on all that stuff too.
Yeah, it all figures in.
And Hillary shook her hand as he and Bill and Juanita worked, did some things together. Hillary shook Juanita's hand and said, thanks for all the support you've given my husband. How is that an act of covering up something? Nothing had come out at that point.
Right.
I just, please, fact check it on your own. But just because somebody says something on a debate or on the internet does not mean it's true, unless it's Billy Bush. Then it's true.
Then it's true.
The Bushy only speaks the truth.
We'll take a quick break. Kim has the news for you, and then a lot more show coming. Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder, WGN. This is a good segue from potential infidelity to actual infidelity, or digital infidelity, which is a new term. I don't think that term existed not long ago. Thomas Gagliano is on the line with us right now, the author of Cheating Made Easy, The Age of Digital Infidelity. Thomas, how are you? Everything good?
I'm great, but that's not my book.
It's not?
No, my book is called Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. The cleanup cost could last a lifetime. That's my book.
That's a better title. I like that title. Do me a favor. Explain what digital infidelity is for people who don't know.
Well, we live in the world of digital products, right? I mean, and digital infidelity is men who are watching pornography that are married or in a significant relationship that they should only be giving their wife or husband that attention. It's people on chat rooms, dating sites who shouldn't be there. It's infidelity. Your watches. It's all of these digital products, sexting, that people are doing nowadays, and they're really cheating on their significant other, whether it's husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend. And a lot of this stuff starts at an early age. I mean, we got kids looking at porn as early as 11 years old, and they're looking at screens 7 hours a day. So what's happening is the brain is really getting these feel-goods, the dopamine chemicals being released that's giving them a feel-good on the computer, on screens. Now, you put a little bit of negativity in the childhood where the child didn't grow up with their needs in the proper nurturing way or in other ways. And all of a sudden, these things become addictions. And that's why we have a lot of digital infidelity now. We have a lot of people that are going to porn, chat sites, sexting, doing all of these things when they should be doing this or giving this attention to the person that they committed to.
Bill, are you paying attention? Because I noticed you were sexting and
looking
at porn while we were talking.
Sending Olivia Wilde a quick note. I'm fine. I'm back.
You know, it's
sound bites, right?
We've talked about this. Bill and I have talked about this in the past so many times. A lot of boys would go to their treehouse after they found their dad's Playboys. I would still look at them when I found the Playboys because it's like, wow, I'm going to get breasts like that someday. But it was hard work to find that kind of stuff.
Right.
Now, I cannot believe what you could punch in that Google box.
Any word in the English
anything
language.
Anything, and it comes up. And I mean, it comes up.
Yes.
Well, you know, what it offers people is also this. It offers, let's say, a man, for instance. I facilitate groups for men that have this, and it's an addiction. Like all addictions, it's in control of them. They're not in control of their pornography. And what porn gives men is, or women, is total control. It's I turn it on when I want, shut it off when I want. I look at the right the object I want to look at, the fetish I want to look at. I'm in total control. There's no relationship. There's no give and take. There's no compromise. And what happens is, you know, the spouse or the significant other is paying a big bill for this because all of a sudden the message is that they're not pretty enough or smart enough or sexy enough. And, you know, again, you spend more and more time with this addiction, and it's time you should be given to your children as well if there's children involved. So there's a tremendous betrayal here, and people don't realize it because they think they're in control of this. And the reality is it's in control of them.
We're talking to Thomas Gagliano. Your first book, The Problem Was Me. The second one, Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. The cleanup can last a lifetime. We were talking earlier, before we got you on the line, about Hillary Clinton and when Bill had some affairs, some extra curricular activities, if you will. Bill pointed out that half of the women were ashamed of her for taking him back and half of them were proud. it's a personal thing. Can a relationship be mended after cheating happens?
Yes, and this is what I do for a living. This is, I have couples like this. And first and foremost, it depends on the couple. Do they want to make it work? If you want to make it work, then I'll give you the actions that will mend this relationship together again. But if you haven't made that decision to go forward, you should get out then. Because then you have to work on it. You have to work it to make it work. So when I have people that want to work on this, I put the men in my groups where they could talk to other men that have gone through the same thing and build back intimacy with their significant other. And I also work with the women and explain to them, you know, it's not about not being pretty enough, young enough, or sexy enough. You know, what addiction is, it's filling a hole. It's filling a need. It's filling a void inside like all addictions do. And I believe that pornography is probably going to be the biggest addiction we have in our society today. So, yeah, it can be mended, but you have to work on it for it to work. And that's the decision each individual couple has to make first.
A little while ago, Thomas, you said men who are addicted to it and women, you kind of threw that in parenthetically.
Yeah.
What's the breakdown? It's mostly men, isn't it?
It's mostly men, but the percentages are evening it out more and more because, again, you know, we have in our society today, a lot of women are working, moms are working, dads are working. They're not watching what sites their kids are going on as much as they used to. They're not being curious enough with their children. What sites are you on? Why do you go on all sites? You know, and as it grows. And as you said earlier, it's so easy to view any of these things. It does grow in women as much as it does in men.
What about Facebook? I know there are, we've talked about this on the show sometimes too, where people reach out to maybe an old high school flame when a reunion's coming up or an old boyfriend or old girlfriend. And all of a sudden it makes it easier to, hey, let's meet for coffee. And sometimes things can be rekindled.
Listen, honestly, nothing should be done on the QT. Secrets kill relationships. So if you're going to work, if you're going to be on Facebook talking to anybody, your wife or your husband should see it right in front of you. They should see what you're writing. It has to be brought to the light. If you're sneaking it around, well, your intentions aren't good then. Maybe it's not just to say, hey, how you doing? How's the kids and this and that? Maybe you have other intentions, and that's why I tell couples, you can't have secrets. If there's abuse and addiction, secrets you may need to keep yourself safe, but if there's not that kind of insanity going on, you don't want secrets. Secrets have a life of its own, and it makes it worse. So if you're going to do Facebook, you do it right in front of your spouse. You let your spouse see what you're writing, and make sure you keep them safe first. If you're going to have an intimate, healthy relationship, both people have to make the other one their priority in their life. If you're not the priority of each other, you're going to have a problem.
All right, but say that I want to contact an old boyfriend. I will do it and tell my husband, hey, I just talked to so-and-so on Facebook. I'm not going to say, Jim, come look over my shoulder while I type things. That would be weird.
Why is it weird?
It's just, I'm sure he wouldn't enjoy it. I mean, I don't care. I'm not hiding anything. But wouldn't it make him feel uncomfortable?
Let him make the choice. If you have a good relationship, he won't want to know. But if you have a relationship where there are little secrets or you're not really intimate, intimacy is intimate, it's the inside. If you have a relationship that's really not that strong, he might want to look at that. So I give the choice to the spouse. Why? Because you're telling them they're important. They're the priority. They could turn it down. My phone rings or text message. My wife could look if she wants to look, and if she doesn't want to look, she doesn't have to look. So this is the relationship you need to have, is that you make the priority your spouse. And if you can do that and keep those communications going, there's less likely the shot that you're going to end up getting yourself into a place you don't want to be.
Thomas, one of the cornerstones of most addictions, including Alcoholics Anonymous, is admitting that you have a problem. Is that the case with something like digital infidelity? Are more people willing to admit that they know it's a problem?
Absolutely. Look, addictions are symptoms. Addictions are like switching seats in a Titanic. A guy goes from gambling to drinking to drugs. They're symptoms. The real problem is the negative core belief inside. There's something I need to make me feel whole. That's what drinking does to alcoholics. It's a delusion, but in their mind is, if I drink enough, I'm going to be okay. It fills a void in my belief from childhood. So the same thing with porn. It's filling a void it shouldn't be filling. And as all addictions, it wants even more and more. And the first step is, I can't handle this myself. I need help. And when clients come to me, that's exactly what they're saying. I've tried. A million times I stopped. But you know, Tom, I was never able to stay stopped. That's addiction. You may stop, but you won't stay stopped unless you get help.
Can I ask, what is it about people's brains? I know several people that you almost just described to a T, where they switch addictions. They're addicted to one thing for a while and then move on to something else and then something else. What's going on in that brain that's not in everybody else's brain?
It's an emotional illness. They're not fixing what's broken. If all I do is stop drinking and put the cork in the bottle and I'm not fixing the brokenness inside, the wounds from childhood inside, I will then put the cork in the bottle and I'll find drugs or gambling or something else. I'll go to a different symptom. I'm a recovering addict. That's why I know this. And I came from a childhood where the message was I was not important. I wasn't valued. And I've searched my life in addictions to fill that void until I figured out it's not the addictions. It's really more the void I have inside or that emptiness I had inside that I need to fix myself. I need to go back, challenge those core beliefs, and know that I am valued. I am important. It's not true. And that's how you fix what's broken inside. If all you're going to do is stop an addiction, you're going to end up finding yourself with another addiction.
Thomas Gagliano on the line with us, addiction and relationship expert. We're going to take a quick break. 312-981-7200. His latest book, Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. The cleanup can last a lifetime. It was released last month in September. And you can go to thomasgagliano.com. I cannot wait to come back and ask him a question about different addictions that may not be dangerous, but they can still be an addiction. I'll tell you what I mean. 312-981-7200. It's Bill. It's Wendy. 720 WGN.
Thomas Gagliano is our guest. His book is called Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper. The cleanup can last a lifetime. Thomas, can I ask you the dumbest question anyone's ever asked you?
You got it.
Are you any relation to Phil Gagliano that used to play for the Cubs and Cardinals?
Oh, my God. When I was a little kid, no, I wasn't, but I remember Phil Gagliano. There wasn't a lot of Gaglianos around then, and I remembered that name and saying, man, somebody's got the same name as me.
No. All right. No relation. All right. Just making sure.
Cool. All right. You. Thomas is an addiction and relationship expert, and I have to talk to you about a couple of addictions I have. Sure. One of them is shopping.
Right.
Sometimes I will go online to a website and put things in my shopping cart, and then I close it. I exit out, and I forget that I've done it, and I don't realize that it hasn't arrived, but it gets me that thrill of putting something in my cart and pretending I've bought something.
Right. Right.
Is that a problem?
No, I think you have to assess, you have to take your own inventory. If something is making your life unmanageable enough, then you have to look at it as being addictive. Now, usually, we look at addiction in three different ways. We say, one is, am I having legal problems because of addiction? If you're spending more than you're making and you're going into bankruptcy, you got a problem. Two is, if I'm losing my employment because of my addiction. I can't get up for work on Mondays. I'm too busy looking at the computer. I'm not doing well in work. Or three is family problems. My wife or husband's going to divorce me because I can't stop drinking or gambling or blah, 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 blah. So those are the three areas you have to look at, which will give you the answer as to whether or not you've really crossed that line of addiction.
All right. Well, I can continue shopping and I can continue playing Candy Crush.
Yeah.
Because that's an addiction for me, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? The brain, you know, gives off these chemicals, the endorphins and the
dopamine. I have ADHD, so that's how I quiet my brain when I do something like that.
There you go.
Do you agree with this, Thomas? I talked to a guy once about addictions years ago, and he said in his belief, once you start becoming late or miss work because of something, that proves that it's an addiction. Do you believe that?
Yeah, that's one of the three things I just mentioned, is that if you have employment problems in any way from whatever that is you're doing, that's a sign it's making your life unmanageable. And that's one of the three, as well as legal problems and as well as family problems. I mean, if your wife or husband is fed up with you and says, look, you get help or get out, you got a problem.
Can everyone be cured from an addiction or not?
I think that the way to cure an addiction is really through therapy, through professional help, as I do, and to fix why. Why is that, whatever it is, feel like oxygen to you? Why do you feel like if I don't have it, I'm going to die? I mean, our cemetery is filled with people that thought they could handle their addiction, and they couldn't. So what is it about what's broken in me, that I believe that that becomes oxygen to me. I cannot live without it. And to do that, you got to, like what I do in my groups, we go back and see what was broken inside of you at an early age that you need this so bad to survive. And that's really what addiction is.
And, Bill, you had said in the past you had some gambling issues and you quit cold turkey and you did it on your own. But some people, honestly, need help to get through addictions, whether it be gambling, smoking, heroin. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's not as easy to just say, that's it, I'm never going to do it again.
Right.
Some people need the extra help. Thomas, this was fascinating.
Thank you.
Where do we find your book? On your website?
Yeah, you can use theproblemwasme.com. It's easier, and that's the title of my first book, which my wife totally loved the title. That was my first book, and the new one, again, is Don't Put Your Crap on Your Kid's Diaper. If anybody leaves me a message on theproblemwasme.com, I will get back to you.
Excellent. So nice to talk to you, addiction and relationship expert Thomas Gagliano. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank
Thanks, Thomas. Absolutely. A quick break, some news, and then more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Kim, thanks. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder, and we were just talking to Thomas Gagliano about addictions. And I'm not kidding when I say this.
Should have talked to him about spaghetti sauce.
We could probably get him back to discuss that with us if you want. I may have a borderline addiction to baseball. Just borderline. Nothing dangerous.
But again, he said there were three things. If it causes you legal problems.
It has not.
If it causes you employment problems.
I've not missed any work.
Or family problems.
Members of my family have suggested that I'm watching too much baseball.
It's baseball season.
Right. It's playoff time.
I mean, come on. The Cubs might do it.
Yeah. Oh, not just might. They're gonna.
Okay, you're
jinxing it. It's in the stars. It's written in the stars. Can I tell you this? I found there's a lot of statistics that get thrown out this time of year about baseball. For instance, the other day, Travis Wood hit a home run. This is what's amazing about the Cubs this year. They've got so many heroes. If anyone would have said to you after two games in the playoffs, who would have the most RBIs on the Cubs? Nobody would say Kyle Hendricks, who's a pitcher. If somebody said who's tied for the team lead in home runs through the playoffs, no one would say Travis Wood, also a pitcher. It doesn't make sense.
But you know what is so amazing about this? How many times do we talk about how the Blackhawks are such a team unit?
Right.
That's what the Cubs are, finally.
It's the same thing.
I've not seen it with baseball before.
A lot of times if you look at strong teams in any sport, they've got two or three standout guys, and the Cubs have that. They've got a handful of standout guys, but you never know from night to night who's going to be the hero on that given game, and that's part of the fun of them. All right, so for the last couple of days, you've been hearing all kinds of stats. If you watch the game or just talk to people, I played tennis with some guys yesterday, and this one guy was saying, hey, I know they're up 2-0, but that doesn't mean anything because ... and all these examples, including the Cubs with the Padres. And I know that story. I don't have to get into it. This is my favorite stat. This is my absolute favorite stat in favor of the Cubs. And I know they're facing Madison Baumgartner tonight, and the guy's a whiz in October. He just doesn't know how to lose. But anything can happen. All right, listen to this stat. This is the best. In the past, 63 times we've had a situation where one team is up on the other team 2-0 in a best-of-five series. That has happened a total of 63 times in postseason baseball. Only 9 times out of 63 has the team that was trailing come back to win the last 3 games to take the series.
Yeah, but you can't.
Is that, 14%, 13 or 14%?
Yeah, but things change every day.
No, I know that.
You can't base your...
I know that, but...
addicted.
But...
to stats. That's what you're addicted to.
I'm addicted to stats. But in a world where you're looking at probability, that's a pretty good possibility. It's somewhere like 13 or 14% of the time a team comes back to win those last three. I would take that if I were a betting man still. I would take those stats anytime. I'd take that bet.
Do you just place bets and just don't call anyone? Like you just write them down and stick them under your desk blotter?
Yes.
Do you have a desk blotter?
Oh, my desk blotter is full of this sort of nonsense. My desk blotter is almost at the ceiling because I have little slips of paper underneath with me betting myself little things like this.
But the guy, one of the guys I'm playing yesterday, is throwing out all these stats about the Giants and the, well, you know, the after 107 years and you can't even count facts and stats. But this isn't the team that's been playing for the Cubs for 107 years. There's not a single 107-year-old guy on the Cubs. Not one.
Not even Grandpa?
No, he's only 39.
Yeah.
He's 39.
Which, when you think about
that... Oh, I love the fact that they're calling a guy grandfather who's 10 years younger than, more than 10 years younger than me. That's not fair.
What are we? Christopher Columbus?
Great-grandpa and grandma.
On this Columbus Day, by the way.
Yeah. So I do... I mean, look, you can't feel 100% secure and assured until it's done, but if there's ever a time to enjoy it, it's now.
Well, enjoy it. Don't worry about the stupid stats.
Right. That's the truest part of
all.
You
just brought him up, though.
Well, it's just because I've been listening. You know, I'm flipping around to different sports channels on television. I'm watching sports shows on TV, and they all have these little things that they go, "Hey, I know you're a Cubs fan, and you're confident, but you got to know this." And it's always negative stuff. That's a good stat. Only 9 times out of 63 has a team come back to win the last 3. Just doesn't happen much.
Much. I'm glad you said that.
Much. Yeah, I'm realistic.
All right, what else you got?
Nothing.
Really? Mr. Stat doesn't have any more?
No, because all the other ones cancel each other out, you know? But it was so, I mean, I know you've only watched bits and pieces of the first 2 games, but when you have moments like in game 2, the Cubs pitcher Kyle Hendricks, who's one of the favorites for the Cy Young Award, he gets hit. There's a line drive, comes right back, and it knocks him out of the game, and you go, oh, no, because I'm not a believer in the curse. But you go, oh, we're so close to lose a guy like this right now. And they put in Travis Wood, who I like a lot. And then he hits this incredible home run. You go, oh, forget about that fate. You don't know what you're talking about, fate. Look at that guy. It's only the second time in baseball, the second time in all of baseball, that a relief pitcher has hit a home run in a postseason game. The last time was like 1920-something. It just doesn't happen.
All right, there's another stat.
There's
so
another
thank
stat.
Oh, you. I mean, there, you, I you really.
Can, trust me, if you turned me upside down and shook me, these stats would just fall out of my head. And I'd sue you for picking me up and shaking me upside down. So don't do that.
All right, well, basically just have fun and watch it.
That's it. It's a magical time for people who are long-suffering Cubs fans. This is such a dream team. I mean, it is the baseball equivalent of what the Blackhawks have been, you know, the past 6 years or so, where you just go, how can you not love this team? They just do everything right.
Since the wild card era, there have only been 2 teams that have won the World Series after having a 100-plus win season.
That's a bad stat. I'm trying to ignore the bad stats because there's a lot of those. And there's the one that people keep saying over and over and over again is that the Giants keep winning the World Series every even year. Because they do. If you look at the last 5 years.
But that's only 5 years.
Right. But that's another one I choose to ignore. I don't want to hear that. Every time someone tells me that now, I put my hand, I do that thing that kids do.
La la
la la la la. I'm covering my ears. I'm looking the other way. I don't want that stat.
Well, you just have to enjoy it and see what happens.
I know. That's all you can do, seriously.
Do you have any, I can't think of the word right now. Let's play charades.
All right.
It's something that you do all the time, like a tradition, but that's not what I'm talking about. It's like a tradition that you do. I can't think of the word.
I think tradition.
You know how, like, if a player has...
Ritual?
Yes.
Is that what you're thinking of?
A ritual.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kim.
Thanks. You win. You're going to be my partner for playing charades.
Kim is a tiki god. She knows this stuff.
Do you have any...
Tiki god?
Tiki goddess. Sorry.
Rituals that you've been doing during this series?
I'm so mad at myself for this because I'm smarter than this, but I still, if I'm watching a game on one of the TVs, this happened over the weekend. I'm watching in the kitchen on the little TV. We have a little TV. It's like the size of a quarter. And I'm watching on there, and then the Cubs score a run. I go, well, now I can't go watch it on the big screen TV because they're doing well on this TV.
So you didn't the rest of the game?
After a couple of innings, I switched over. But I'm like, but if things start to go the other way, I'm going back to the – and I'm so much smarter than that. I know that which TV I watch the game on is going to have little – no,
you
it's going
to have
no influence at all. Not little to no influence, no influence at all. But that has happened in the past. I've done that with the Blackhawks, too, where I'm upstairs, I'm getting ready for something, and then they score a goal, and I go, well, I can't go downstairs and watch it now. This is the lucky TV.
You know how I had the playoff bra for the Blackhawks?
Yep.
I have to tell you, the last two nights I wore it, the Cubs won.
And you're not going to keep that tradition alive? You have to.
No, because I don't want it to be my fault. Yes, I will wear it, but it's, you know, just good luck. That's all. Just enjoy while it's happening.
All right. So you'll wear it tonight during the game.
I'll wear it. It's on now. I'm not going to change bras.
Donald Trump just texted us. What's your address? Don't give it out on the air. Don't do it. All right. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy at WGN.
Did you watch the Bears game yesterday?
Not a second of it.
I went to my in-laws because my mother-in-law Annette had a knee replacement, so we went to bring them Superdog. Because really, what makes your knee feel better than a good Superdog?
Absolutely.
So we were out there, and the game was on, and it was pretty close and relatively high-scoring for a while, and then completely fizzled out.
Yeah.
And then listening to Ed Obradovich on the way home on WGN Radio was awesome.
I've already suggested this to you, but I'm actually going to go upstairs and talk to the program director about this. I love Ed Obradovich. You love Ed Obradovich. If you hear him on those post-Bears broadcasts, he sounds slightly perturbed with the behavior of the Bears. I say let Ed do a post-game for the Blackhawks or something after a Cubs game, just something more upbeat just to keep him on a positive note. Because if you keep doing these Bears games week after week after week, which he does, it's going to tear at you. It's going to kill him. So let him do a Hawks thing or a Cubs thing, don't you think?
So he has good news to comment on?
I think that's much better for him. He'll live longer.
All right,
I'm trying
agree
to save
with
his
you.
Life. All right, in your opinion, I don't know if people know this or not, Billy Bush was the other person involved in this Donald Trump speech, the tapes that came out on Friday.
Speech.
It wasn't a speech. A locker room speech.
Right.
All right.
Can I just ask you very quickly, where did Billy Bush come from? I know he's a cousin of
the Bush family.
Right.
Right.
Not Jeb and not W, but there's another Bush who is his father. Is that it?
Yeah. I don't know exactly what his tie-in is, but I know that he is a cousin of the family.
All right.
He's George W.'s cousin. His father is brothers to George, first President Bush.
Do you know his name? Because I don't know his name.
No, I do not know his name.
All right. I can't remember. I remember hearing this once. All right. You know this. This isn't something I'm making up right now because of the news. I always call Billy Bush one of the three-headed vanilla monsters, right?
Ryan Seacrest
Ryan
is one
Seacrest
of them.
Is one. Carson Daly is the other.
I could guess him.
Because anytime they're on, including the first time I ever saw Billy Bush, I went, what?
Jonathan Bush is his dad.
Jonathan Bush. Right. All right. So I'm not piling on because Billy Bush is in the news. But now NBC has announced that he is being suspended from his job at the Today Show. Is that warranted or not warranted? Do you think he should be suspended for his part in this?
From what I understand, they are suspending him because he didn't release that tape. He didn't tell people about it.
Right.
I don't think that's his job. And from my understanding, he wasn't aware that the microphone was still rolling.
So with that being known, if you're NBC, although I have to think they look at this as a tremendous distraction at this point to put him on the air.
Well,
he'd have to address it if he was on today, but he wasn't.
And he apologized. He issued an apology.
Immediately.
And he was embarrassed, and he said he was less mature, which not so much. It's not like he was a toddler when he said it,
right.
Or a teenager.
At what age are you accountable for the things you say or react to?
I say let's go with the legality of it when you're 18 and over. You're responsible for your own actions.
That seems fair.
It really does. And I know 18-year-olds, your mileage may vary, and there are some immature ones, but
right.
You have to learn a valuable life lesson when you're 18.
I agree with you.
Maybe, I mean, you could go 21.
If I was going one way or the other on that, I would even go a little earlier and say maybe 16 you should be accountable. But 18 seems...
16, we've done some stupid things. Maybe you haven't. But I'm just glad there was no social media when I was 16. You think Kim Kardashian had a good tape?
Yeah. All right.
I'm kidding.
But, all right. So let's say, and it's been established that this was years ago, right? But he was still...
11 years ago.
It was 11 years ago. So he's still not doing anything to dispel any of this conversation. He's rolling along with it. He and Trump are trying to outcool each other for a while.
In this conversation?
Imagine that. Imagine that outcooling contest. It's Donald Trump versus Billy Bush trying to outcool each other with their prowess with women. So
can I read you his statement? He put, obviously, I'm embarrassed and ashamed. It's no excuse, but this happened 11 years ago. I was younger, less mature, and acted foolishly in playing along. I'm very sorry.
I'm not a fan of his, but I think that's what you need to do is say essentially what he said there.
And he's some little reporter dude for Access Hollywood, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or Inside Edition, I don't know. I think it was Access. And
Access Hollywood.
And he's there with Donald Trump, and you know what? He probably worked the room. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like
you don't want to cause a stir.
Right.
You want to play along with
exactly.
it.
Exactly. But I would just suspend him for calling himself the Bushy.
That alone, I think, should get him at least 2 weeks. Non-paid.
Yes.
No paid suspension. That's not the
same.
Hey,
you got a hug for the Donald and the Bushy?
Oh, my God.
That's what he should be suspended for.
Years ago, at another radio station, I was in the room as the host of another radio show was saying such incredible, vile things about a woman. And for the next 2 weeks, I couldn't talk to the guy. Just because I always suspected that that was the kind of guy he was, but I never had any evidence of it. But he was telling me a story about some woman who had walked past and what his goal was. And I got so sick to my stomach that I couldn't say a word to him for at least 2 or 3 weeks. I just went, I don't want any part of this, you know? It's not on tape anywhere, but that's the way it affected me.
Who was it?
Should I say?
I don't know. Probably
I would
not.
Love to say.
I don't want a lawsuit.
It's a name many people... No, I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say.
All right. More people want to discuss this, but we have to take a break and do some news. Listeners, if you'd like to hang on, shall we continue with this?
Absolutely.
The Bushy would like to. Was it just Bushy or the Bushy?
I think he said Bushy, I think. I'll find it. I think he said Bushy, though.
I don't... That just... That's...
I love giving yourself a nickname like that. Think about that.
That's just so... That honestly is why he should be suspended.
Just for that.
All right, 312-981-7200. We'll continue talking about this. Quick break, then some news. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN.
Kim, thanks. It's Bill Left and it's Wendy Snyder. Before the news, we were discussing not just Donald Trump, but Billy Bush's involvement in this tape from roughly a decade ago. We were trying to make sense of it all. You can't make sense of it all. NBC has suspended Billy Bush from the Today Show. Which I was thinking when this first came out, what is their next move with him? He did apologize right away. I think you almost have to give him a day or two off just to let the smoke settle just a little bit. But what'll happen next? We have a bunch of people on the line. We're at 312-981-7200.
Go ahead. And it is the Bushy.
That's the nickname is the Bushy.
Yeah.
Billy Bush is the nickname.
That kills me. Who do you want to talk to?
Can we talk to Danny? I would love to hear what Danny has to say. Hi, Danny.
Hey, how you doing?
What do you make of this, sir?
You know what? It's just words. It happened years ago. Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Danny, are you married?
Yes, I am. 40 years.
All right.
Congrats, by the way.
If Mr. Trump were saying these things about your wife, and I don't know if you have kids, if you have a daughter or not, but if he was saying these things about...
No. Oh, wait. That's that... This was his locker room talk. He didn't say a specific person.
No, he did. It was Nancy
Odell.
Yeah,
he was talking about Nancy Odell.
Well, that's her husband's problem. Personally, it doesn't bother me. You say something about wife, I don't know. I can't say nothing about it. If I know about it, it's a different story. Okay? It's just locker room talk.
But how is that okay?
Did he say it to her face?
No, that doesn't make it any better or worse.
That's a different story. You say somebody's face, you say behind their back. You know how many women I talked dirty about back in the day?
But you're not running for president, are you?
If you were running for president.
You know he's not God. Nobody's God. I'll tell you, after all this this tax thing and that, I wasn't voting for the guy. I'm voting for the guy now. Because I'm sick of everybody making a big issue out of little minute things. It's words. You know
all right, can I ask you one, Danny, I want to ask you one little tiny question, okay?
Yeah.
You're going to vote for him now. because you think he's getting picked on. This is no big deal. What do you think about, just wait, so people in other countries have to deal with the President of the United States, and if it's Donald Trump, aren't you going to be embarrassed that a guy like that is our president?
No. He talks like, he says it like it is, right?
That's what everybody keeps saying.
Everybody going around a corner, all the people, oh, you know what, let's talk nice and this and that. Say like it is. Words don't hurt people.
Danny, if you...
Oh, my God, words hurt people.
Danny, I know you believe he's saying it like it is, but if you look at Politico's fact-checking from last night, he lied 80% of the time. He only told you the truth one out of every five things he said. That's not telling it like it is.
Okay, what about Hillary?
Not the most honest person on the planet either.
Pardon me?
Not the most honest person on the planet either.
That's right. That's right. And
but
she,
competent,
you know,
and able to lead the country.
Probably the most dirtiest policy. People forgot when she was running against Obama, how dirty they were playing. You got the two dirtiest politicians in the Clintons. Okay, this whole election is sickening to me. I'm 65 years old. I've never seen one so bad.
And I hope to God we don't see one as bad again. I mean, really, these are the two best we have to choose from.
I mean, neither one of them are useless in my book. But, you know, she is so dirty and her husband is so dirty and the politics, they're just dig up dirt. You know, talk about the issues.
And he's talked about the issues?
Not yet.
Well, the sands of time are dropping. We got to do it soon.
He doesn't want to give away his secrets.
No, I know.
Yeah. Well, I shut it off. The first debate I got drunk at, this one I didn't to shut it off.
You should do the commentary after the debate, Danny. I would love that. So it's dirty versus dirty. We got to get Mr. Bubble to run for president, Danny.
You got to make it somebody.
All right.
Well, thank you for calling. You just don't think it's a big deal.
It's no big deal.
No big deal.
And you're voting for him because of this.
Yeah, because I'm just so angry with all the butt-slinging, and I can't take it anymore. So put him in 4 years to be a Congress runs this country. Nobody else, you know that.
All right.
Danny,
all right.
Me speechless, but have a great day, okay?
All right, you have a good one.
All right, you too.
All right, what's he going to say about me now behind my back? He won't say it to my face, but behind my back, it's okay.
It is a big deal. How could this not be a big deal? That the persona of the president or potential president is somebody who believes that he could just move in on any woman and have his way with her because he's rich and powerful. That is a big deal.
And you know what else is a big deal? Wasn't he just married to Melania?
Just
like,
got married
just
months
under a,
earlier.
Yeah. So
right.
That to me is not...
Time to move her out.
Can't do interpersonal relationships very well. How is he going to communicate with other people? I don't get it. I don't get it. Make us understand, Fred. Hey, Fred.
My write-in candidate is going to be Doug the Pug.
Why? Well, Doug the Pug.
I want you to join me in drafting Doug the Pug.
All right.
Better job than Hillary and better job than Donald. They are the two worst candidates in a country of, what do we have, 300 million people? That's the best we can do? Are you serious?
I agree with
you.
It's
hard to believe.
But you have to vote for one of them because the pug is not going to win.
Why? They're both the pug. Why do I have to vote for either one of them?
Because don't you exercise your right to vote?
But they're so terrible. Don't you think some people are just going to say, you know, stay home and say the hell with it?
Yes.
Or screw it either way.
Many will.
Oh, I think so. And the debates are appalling. They don't. Neither one of them cover the real issues.
No, we.
You know, they're very very narcissistic. They're not good people. They're both terrible liars. One's a politician. One's a businessman. But you know, at the end of the day, they're both liars.
But we have to pick somebody. Well, how can you not vote? I mean, don't you feel funny not voting?
I'm voting for Doug the Pug.
I would love to see that happen.
Doug the Pug is going to get it done. Okay, Doug the Pug.
Tell people who that is if they're not aware.
Doug the Pug is a pug, I believe, from Vancouver, Canada.
Yeah.
He can't run. Online. He's not a citizen.
He has to be a U.S. citizen.
Yeah, you got to go online.
We want to see his birth papers.
Yes, he's hilarious.
All right, okay. I'll put him down. Thank you. God.
I could hear your eyes roll. I didn't even see
I know.
I could hear your eyes roll.
I know there are people that aren't going to vote.
It's easy to be disenchanted.
Yes,
disenchanted.
I am too. But you have to make a decision, in my opinion.
I know. I'm with you. I agree with you. But a dog from Canada will not lead us. That's never happened.
I would vote for the dog. I really would. Dennis?
Yeah.
What do you think, Dennis?
Well, I enjoy your show. I listen to it every day.
Thank you.
But
Trump is nothing but a crumb.
All right.
He is the personification of, I shouldn't say evil, but...
But what then?
That's about as close as I can get.
Close to evil, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the guy badmouths women, everything else like that, these tapes that came out, it's absolutely horrendous.
So what do we do?
I'm just quitting.
I'll tell you don't quit. I got an absentee ballot. I'm writing in Joe Biden.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be nice?
And they want him. The Republicans are now saying you should just step down. You should just do it. And Trump is saying there's no way. And there is no way he's going to step down now.
So many people after this latest scandal, this Friday scandal, said, all right, that's it. We put Mike Pence on the ticket and we do it today. I don't know how that could happen legally.
You can't. And when questioned.
Trump would have to himself say, all right, I give in.
He's
you
not
win.
Going
I'm
to.
I'm stepping down. It, no, it's not in his mind.
And when it was called to his attention that Mike Pence said something and Trump flat out said, yeah, I don't agree with that. Like, you don't agree with your running mate? He goes, no, I don't.
Yeah.
Isn't that a problem within.
Oh, sure. I mean, they can have mild disagreements, but it happened a couple times during the debates. It's happened during interviews. I love, and I've seen him do this several times now, Mike Pence I'm talking about, where they say, what about Mr. Trump's stance on this? Or what about when he said that? And he just takes a moment and he chuckles to himself and he goes, well, we're very different people, Donald Trump and I. And that's a polite way of saying, I don't agree with him.
He's chuckling because he can't believe he's in this position right now.
Except that all
Dennis,
of this,
thank you for calling.
If anyone's benefiting from this, it is Mike Pence. It really is. He was a name that most of America wasn't even aware of. I know who he was because that's
Indiana.
Our name. It's Indiana. It's right over there. It's a state that works. I know who he was for that reason. But most of the country had no idea that Mike Pence existed until he was named as Donald Trump's running mate. This is a carnival for him. I mean, how could he not do well after this, just by comparison?
Because he's still supporting him.
He's supporting him as much as he could possibly. It's like the most minimal amount of support he could possibly give him and still make it seem like they're a team of some sort.
They're no team.
I don't think they are either. I don't think so.
It'll never work. We're doomed.
We're doomed. We'll never make it. The words of Glum on Gulliver.
That's what this thing is,
it's like
Glum.
Glum on Gulliver. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then I know there's a lot of people who want to get in, and we'll get to as many of your calls as we can. We're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there, or you can text us there. We'll be right back. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. We're getting your thoughts on this latest scandal.
It
is a scandal. What do you think about Donald Trump's comments? What do you think about Billy Bush getting suspended temporarily from the Today Show? He'll be back at some point, I'm guessing. No return date yet.
Speaking of Billy Bush, Linda, you have some information about the Bushy?
Yes, I did. I've watched, Access Hollywood for a long time, and the first time I ever heard him called Bushy was by Nancy O'Dell, and I thought, how disgusting is that? And I heard it a couple of times. So, and here it was Bush that's talking about Nancy O'Dell.
Look at how the tables have turned.
And calling himself Bushy, which is the weirdest part of it, or one of the weirdest parts of it.
But Nancy O'Dell was calling him Bushy.
Yeah.
And like I say, that's the first time I ever heard it. So, you know,
yes.
it's disgusting.
The whole
it's
thing
disgusting.
Is.
Right, exactly. But then again, you look at Hillary Clinton and her husband, and when he had the affair with Monica Lewinsky when he was president, at the time, everybody was saying the only reason that Hillary stood by his side is because one day she wanted to run for president.
But can I ask you something, Linda? You're talking about, sure. You know, Donald Trump and the Bushy,
Yeah.
Saying these terrible things about women, and then you go on, well, Bill Clinton's bad too. Bill Clinton isn't running this time around. It's Hillary.
I know, but I'm saying that at the time they were saying the only reason that Hillary was standing by him is because she wanted to run for president one day.
That's what everybody said, otherwise, but do we know that to be true?
But you could be divorced and still be president.
Don't. Yeah.
We right? don't. I mean,
Donald Trump's been divorced.
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah. Doesn't make him a bad person. But anyway, this whole thing is a joke. I mean, it's a dog and pony show.
But at the end of a joke, usually we all laugh. When is that part coming? That's the part I'm looking forward to.
Well, Linda, here's to the laughter.
Well, laughter is the best medicine, right?
Right.
No,
so
penicillin, actually, is the best
medicine. Oh, that's true. Linda, thank you very much for calling.
Frustrated?
I just don't know what to think anymore. Let's talk to John. Hi, John. You're our last call. Make it good.
Hi. Hello. I would just like to ask you guys a little question. I know Wendy, you, and who's the other gentleman you're with? What's his name?
The Bushy.
No gentleman. It's just me, Bill.
Okay, Bill, you made a remark about 15 minutes ago that just because Donald Trump has money and power, he can just about get away and do anything he wants to do, correct?
Yeah.
Wait, you said that?
Yeah, Trump said that.
Okay. I said you said that. I'm sorry.
Here's what Trump said. Yes. Listen to this. It's a quote. And when you're a star, they let you do it. He was talking about what would happen when he would meet the soap opera actress, and he just might come up to her and kiss her. And then he said, when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Well, here, likely, I'm not a polished politician. If you would have asked me last year, my friends, if I'm a Republican or a Democrat, I would always say, like I usually said, it doesn't matter because they're both corrupt and they ain't going to do me any good.
Right.
But after this year of watching this, at the beginning of the debate where everybody laughed and joked about Donald Trump, and he proved them wrong, the people have said, listen, we're just tired of the same stuff that's going on in Washington. We want to change. Like they jumped out. I'm an athlete. We go to locker rooms. If I was to hear some of the stuff that I said throughout the years, I'm not condemning. I'm not saying that it's good what Donald Trump said. A lot of times men say a lot of stuff and we talk garbage.
Mm-hmm.
But besides the point, Wendy, I'd just like to ask you this question now.
All right.
Okay, Wendy, this is for you. If you were married and you are married and your husband was accused of groping a woman, he was accused of showing the woman his penis, and he was paid out a settlement for $850,000 to another woman, and he was accused of something else in that order. Let me ask you this right now. Would your husband be in jail right now?
I don't know.
Yeah. Wendy, here. See,
I don't know that the I don't
accused doesn't put you in jail. If they prove you guilty,
yes.
You go to jail.
He paid $850,000 for a settlement because she knew markings on him. What I'm just saying here, everybody could bring up 11 years ago what Donald Trump said behind closed doors. Then you could say, okay, well, we should talk about Bill Clinton because that was in the past. But this is a woman who defended her husband and basically tore down four women's lives. And how many other women does anybody know that Bill Clinton did do this to in keeping her mouth shut? There's no, like they said, there is no right choice for this election. They're both not good. But there's only one choice for change, and it's Trump.
But shouldn't change be better, not worse?
But I see, well, I see where John's...
Wendy, and let me ask you two guys a question.
Sure.
Can you tell me five good things that Hillary Clinton did while she was Secretary of State? Five good things.
She went over it because she had practiced her 30 years.
I asked you a question. I asked you to tell me five things right now on the radio that she has done good in 30 years.
I don't know how much power she had behind it. She mentioned.
Okay.
Are you going to let me talk, John, or you're just going to?
Go ahead, Wendy.
She had mentioned she's done a lot of work with women and children and getting health care on there. I know Obamacare isn't great. It's helped a lot of people. A lot of people are complaining about it. She had something. What else did she do?
Well, there was a moment yesterday where they were talking about the tax cuts, and Donald Trump challenged her and said, if these cuts were so bad, Why didn't you make those cuts? You had friends that would have also enjoyed the same benefits that I have. And she said, I voted for the cuts, but I was outvoted. But she did. She wanted those tax cuts, not tax cuts, those tax benefits changed.
You're correct in the answer, what you say. But like me, as like I said, I'm not a politician. But when I hear Donald Trump says, hey, listen, if I was able to take care of the laws that you made, I'm going to take care of it. But you have a lot more people that are taking advantage of the law, too. So what Donald Trump is saying, I was on the other side of the shelf. Now I'm going to go and stop the corruption that's going on, and I'm going to do change. And the reason why the Republicans are turning their backs on Trump, just like the Democrats, why are they doing this for? Because the Republicans and Democrats don't want some changes. And you know who's going to pay for this all down the road with everything that's going on? You, me, Wendy. Because what has Obama done good in 8 years right now? What has Obama done good in 8 years?
We don't have time.
I know, guys. But what I'm just saying here is that I like listening to you guys a lot. But you know what? As I was an undecided voter.
Yeah.
And after listening to everything I have done, Trump is more the logic choice because of he wants changes. Hillary doesn't want changes.
It's going to be the same administration. Listen, we have to run, and John, totally get it, and you vote for who you want. But don't get mad. Let's have a discussion, all right?
Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks, Wendy.
And that guy. The bushy.
The gentleman you're with.
Yeah, he's got
you. I looked around. I'm like, wait a minute. What room is he looking into? All right, we'll take a quick break, and then Rowan Anner here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.